And we're live on the Rant, Rant USA Media, whatever the fucking website is. It's the Shining Wizards 500th episode.
All right, damn it. Hold on.
There we go, Tony. That's good, Tony. That's good. I like that. I like where you're going, Tony. I had fucking 9,000 retweets, and you're farting into the microphone on the first 60 seconds.
Shut up. How long until we see your cat's asshole on the fucking camera? Exactly. It's brought to you by Manscaped. Shave your balls. Where the fuck? Shaving our way to 500 balls. Use the Wizards for 20% off at Manscaped.
Okay. There we go. Oh, I like what you have going on there. Sorry, the hot mic wasn't opening up. I got to have that open over here so I can see what's going on.
Hot mic.
All right, we got ourselves a humdinger of a night. It's 500, boys.
Yeah, yeah. Woohoo.
It's been a crazy wild road, and we got Ace Austin calling us. Friend of the show, Chris Gethard's going to join us. We got tons of surprise guests set up, and all of this is next. And hopefully you're in the hot mic and you're listening on the Rant, rantemradio.com. If you are listening in podcast form, we do appreciate you. But if there's one show you're going to listen to live or watch in the hot mic, it's this show. I put on a brand new fucking shirt because I got my balls busted last week about the shirts that I wear. This is a brand new shirt. Don't make faces, Tony.
Yeah, it's still the same guy, though.
What's wrong? Fuck you. You wear fucking, look at your dumb hat and your dumb Hawkins shirt. You wear the same shit every week, too. And you, don't stick your middle finger up at me.
That's a fair point.
With your, I don't even know what kind of shirt you got on, buddy. Fucking, what a hump. What a Bellamy hump. The Shining Wizards. What a bunch of losers those guys are.
What the fuck? What?
What?
It's all next on the 500th episode of The Shining Wizards.
Start the fucking show!
The following is a presentation of The Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. Become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Scotty Riggs. It's been a pleasure to be on Shining Wizards, which you can catch on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and shiningwizards.com. Keep it heel and do it.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
One, two, three, four, five, 500 episodes of Shining Wizards. 500! Woo!
Why is our intro song so low?
What do you mean?
Like when you listen back to the episode, the intro song is so low.
So low? What is it, like Han Solo?
No, not like Han Solo, you fucking Star Wars nerd.
Well, you know what? You could boost that if you really wanted to. I don't know. It sounds good on my end. I think it sounds good to K-Dog. What do you think, K-Dizzle? Kevin's got to unmute his microphone.
I don't know. I don't know how to... This is really frustrating. I can't hear my voice in the headphones, so I have no idea what I sound like. Other than a jerk off.
No, you're cool.
That's
fine.
No different than any other week.
Yeah, but I want to hear myself say the stupid things that I say. It's rough. Just the way your mother likes shit. Your mother's a whore.
Golly, Miss Molly. Well, this is episode 500. Hope you're enjoying yourselves. We're having a grand old time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a chance to grab myself a beverage yet, but we don't have time for that. We already got our first guest coming up, right, Matt?
Yes, Ace Austin from Impact Wrestling should be joining us shortly on the Zoom, whatever.
There you go.
Zoom. All I want to do is zoom.
You're right.
In a boom, boom.
Do it right there.
The Rump Shaker.
Yeah, I want to fucking dance. Maybe it's time for a fucking dance party.
We got so much show tonight, and I didn't watch any wrestling this week, so I have nothing to talk about except for the fact that I was perfect last night. I don't even watch the WWE, and I went 7-0. Kevin went 6-1. Tony took a big dump on a plate and stuck his face in it. Tony went 4-3 last night.
Because I don't care about picks. Picks are meaningless. We don't do shit with picks. We don't even do them on the air anymore because they can suck the dick.
Well, we don't do them on the air anymore because we have to wait for Friday Night SmackDown to finish so we know the full card going into the event. The only match Kevin lost was the ladder match, the Intercontinental Championship.
Forget the ladder match. We got our guest joining us on the line. Let me kill the Rump Shaker. Let's get our guest right into the room.
Boom, boom.
Ooh, somebody's in a tropical paradise. Look at this.
I like it. Or it's just a tropical paradise.
Is it Jimmy Buffett?
Is it pina coladas?
It says Margaritaville, but I'm expecting Ace Austin to be joining us in a second.
Living on sponge cake.
Has there ever been a wrestler named Pina Colada?
There's had to have been one. There has to.
Probably.
At some point in the creation of all of pro wrestling, yes.
All right.
Mr. Austin, are you there?
Maybe that doesn't... Why would he put up a Margaritaville thing?
Maybe he's chilling out.
Is he working us?
I think we're good to go.
No, nobody's working. Unless Jimmy Buffett joins us, I don't buy into the Margaritaville thing.
Is this like an intro? Is he doing something?
There's nothing wrong with Margaritaville. I'm just saying, Jimmy Buffett is Margaritaville.
No, we're just to get his microphone set up. Ace, are you there with us?
It's not Ace.
Foreman?
Sounds like a lot of ruckus.
Somebody's in the kitchen at Margaritaville. Maybe he's making us some burger.
Is that Retribution?
It might be Stomp. Stomp might be calling us.
Who's Stomp?
You know, like Stomp, the thing, the Broadway show where they play all the instruments with the garbage cans.
The whole musical is calling us right now.
Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Every single person from Stomp is on the Shining Wizards 500th episode. And we got garbage can tops. We got garbage cans.
That's a big get.
We've got garbage.
Is that all? That's all they play, right, on Stomp? They just use garbage cans, right? I got to look this up now.
Garbage.
No, they garbage cans, like pipes and like the plastic buckets and like they do like radiators and stuff. Like half the stuff looks like, remember when Fat Albert's band used to get together in the junkyard? And Rudy was the only one playing a real instrument, but like Fat Albert was playing the big radiator, like an accordion and stuff.
It's like Emmett Otter's jug band. Christmas, playing the washtub, playing the
that's how you do
washtub,
it.
Playing the washtub bass.
Okay. What are the? I think Ace is joining us right now, actually. There he is.
There we go.
Ace Austin, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm just, I guess I never downloaded Zoom until this point. I thought I had it on my computer, but apparently not.
That's okay, man. You're looking good. We're good to go. How you doing? Everything's cool?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm always great.
Jordan awesome. Oliver wants me to ask, how hard does he hit?
Not hard enough.
Not hard enough. Fresh off of Synergy's third birthday show. And, of course, Impact tomorrow night. Him and Madman Fulton take on the North. Ace, thank you for joining us for our 500th episode. We are excited to have you tonight. How are things in Impact?
It's just phenomenal. I have loved it every day.
And we're pretty dialed in here at Impact. You've been making a huge splash, whether it's in the world title division or now, whether it's in the tag team division with Madman Fulton. Tag team singles, two different animals, but same company. What's it like for you to transition from that top title picture into an even more exciting tag team division?
Never seen myself a tag wrestler. Never been in a consistent tag team on the indies, nothing like that. So us kind of falling into this role, I mean, this is why I like to use the phrase, I like to call myself the inevitable.
That's right.
Like, there's nothing that can stop me. It's only a matter of time before I perfect anything that's put in front of me. So yeah. Being in the tag division now is like, definitely, I mean, with a guy like Fulton by my side, how can I not be confident every single time I step in that ring against two other guys? Fulton could take on two other guys on his own. I'm just there to have fun.
And you seem, like you said, inevitable. You feel like the kind of guy that any situation that he's thrown into, he makes work and makes excel, whether it's, you know, the top title picture with, you know, an Eddie Edwards and or whether it's a tag team contest. And now you guys have been messing with the Good Brothers lately. So that's that seems like a perfect match. You and the Big Dog Fulton, and then you got Big LG and the Machine Gun over there. What's that been like, meshing with them and working with them, whether it's in the ring or whether it's backstage stuff?
Just a little new guy hazing, you know, just some guys who these guys come in and they just want to be at the top already. I mean, sure. They've done lots of stuff. I'm just saying, I've been the hottest thing in Impact since I signed. So, you know.
No, you're right. That's a very fair point. And I think it's a very true point, because you literally, the ascension that you've made since signing with Impact is pretty remarkable. I mean, you've had an illustrious, you know, a well-known career coming into Impact, but just showing up as the new guy, X Division, this and that. And like you said, adapting to anything put in front of you. It's something that we don't necessarily see all the time. Do people really support you there, or is this just you being you, taking the bull by the horns yourself?
I'm a once in a generation talent, and people see that. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, I can get it done. They know I can get it done. Just give me that TV time, baby.
Yeah, if you look, he's got a point. He's not blowing smoke up his own butt here. If you watch Impact every week on Axis or Twitch, you know he's getting his job done. Now, the wrist tape, I notice every time you wrestle, there's a different number on it. And in my research, I found out that that's the amount of matches that you have had. Are you up to over 500 matches? Because this is our 500th episode.
Oh, actually, I was going to mention, I didn't have a lot of time to tweet today, but I was going to mention that on Twitter today. This is your 500th episode. Synergy this past Saturday against Jordan Oliver. That was my 600th match.
Whoa!
600.
For real?
Yeah, around five and a half, a little over 5.5 years, I guess. Yeah, 600 matches.
Now, why?
Actually, there's another number on my other wrist, too, when I wrestle. There's numbers on both, but the number on the left wrist stays the same. That is 576. It's the store number of the Hot Topic that I worked at when I was 14 years old back in Pennsylvania. They were very supportive of the wrestling dream. They always gave, when I worked there for 9 years now. And when I started training, they were very supportive. They gave me all the time off that I needed. They never questioned any booking dates or anything like that. So that's just like a good luck charm, that number.
Let me ask you this, because you brought up Hot Topic. Is there like an age limit to when like you should stop shopping at Hot Topic? Because I'm 37 and I go there.
Absolutely
so
not.
Is that like, am I too old to be shopping at Hot Topic?
No, not at all. Hot Topic has done a good job so far of staying with the times, and the pop figures, if I must say, are superb.
What's the
and they got wrestling merch now too, so that's like boom.
Yes, they do.
What's the Ace Austin pop figure collection that is you just grabbing whatever pop figures you can get, or are you at a specific collection where you're getting, like, I have the Office and I have a bunch of wrestling ones.
Yeah, so when I started collecting, I was working in Hot Topic. It's the only reason I started collecting was because we would get the first figures I remember seeing were Batman figures, and I'm big into Batman. So I would just buy all the Batman figures that we got. You know, and then we started getting other things so it's just like whatever I'm into, really. If there's a pop form of it, I think that's pretty sweet. I like to get one of those, you know. I have all the Ninja Turtles. I have quite a few wrestling ones myself. Like I said, any kind of Batman ones. What's really cool about the Marvel figures is all the Marvel figures are bobbleheads. So I like to collect the Marvel figures because they're all really cool. They're really different.
When it comes to Batman, who's your favorite guy to play Batman?
Ooh. I mean, Bale was kind of that was my generation, really, you know? And those movies definitely have a special place in my heart. So I do love the Christian Bale Batman.
Are they remaking another Batman? I'm not up on the movie stuff, so excuse me.
They are. I was not confident in it because Robert Pattinson is Batman.
The kid from the vampire movie?
Indeed.
All right.
So I was kind of like everybody else. Kid from the vampire movie, what? but they just let out a trailer recently. I absolutely will recommend you to go look that up. The trailer looks unbelievable. I'm definitely on board now, and I can't wait to see it.
And who's our main villain in this one?
I think they're going to shake it up. I don't think that, I think the trailer, portrayed a main villain. I feel like they're gonna have some twists and turns in there. I think the trailer made it seem like it was the Riddler, but it's like an iteration of the Riddler that I've never really seen before. Because his face was all bandaged up. It reminded me more of the Hush Batman stuff. So I don't know. I don't really know what the game is.
Do you ever go back and watch the Batman from our generation with the Michael Keatons and the George Clooney's?
Oh yeah. I absolutely love those. Okay. When I say Bale's my favorite, I don't mean I don't respect and love those movies. absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, Keaton's supposed to be in the new one, isn't he? Wasn't they supposed to have him in the kind of a grandfather or a mentor role or something?
I think they're going to do some kind of a time travel, a flashpoint kind of with how Flash, moves through time. I think they're going to do something with a flashpoint where Keaton's going to be Batman from generations before, sort of thing. So I think that's going to be pretty sweet.
That's going to be pretty awesome. Let me ask you, spent a lot of time growing up in Pennsylvania. What was your place? Was it Dorney or Hershey Park?
Hershey Park. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I've ever been to... No, I was at Dorney Park maybe once or twice. I went to Hershey Park on not a regular basis, but that's the one that if my friends were going or if my family was going, that's the one we'd go to.
Okay. Were you too old to go to Dutch Wonderland?
Been Dutch Wonderland.
My really?
Definitely used to talk about it.
Oh, Dutch, it's worth it. If you ever get a chance, just go once. It's a trip. It's more for little kids, but my son's a little old for it now, but I love going to that place, man. I love that place.
Yeah, next time I visit home.
What does an old man like you, Tony, do at an amusement park for children, you creep?
I take my kid there and he has fun and we go on the rides together. There's adults go on the rides too. It's not all kiddie stuff, you know? They got some pretty intense roller coasters at Dutch Wonderland, let me tell you.
Right.
All right, fair enough. Moving on from Dutch Wonderland.
Sorry, I'm just trying to give the guy a little, rub for his home, his home state over here.
We got 20 years on him. Everything that from your time might be gone by now.
Look, I wasn't asking about Adam West playing Batman, okay? I'm not that insecure about things.
Don't you dare besmirch the good name of Adam West.
Oh, I would never. He's my mayor, for God's sake.
I love the old Adam West.
I will hit you with a pow and a bang and a zap.
And a zip.
Come on. The movie from the 60s, you sold a bomb to Penguin? Come on. That's brilliant writing.
It's classic.
One of my favorite movies. The old school Batman. Not. But avid skateboarder, do you do the video games? And have you checked out the latest Tony Hawk re-release?
I actually already beat Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1. I'm about to start Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 probably tonight.
Wow.
How do you like the game?
Oh, they're unbelievable. Oh, the remasters are incredible. Absolutely. I paid I just kind of dished it out. I didn't really I just paid for it. As soon as I saw the pre-order, I was in. It's it's awesome.
Best
like skate games though. I liked being able to the skate games for me were super cool. I love being able to get off your board and run around and do stuff. But you know, Tony Hawk's a classic.
So let me ask you, back to the writing the numbers on the wrist tape. Where did that come from? Why? And do you keep like a separate like journal of like your individual matches and your wins and losses and stuff like that?
They're all written down. Yeah. I mean, I watched the, you know, Chris Jericho's documentary Gimmick, and he talked about writing all his matches down. And like, that's the kind of like OCD thing that I would definitely do. You know, that just felt right to me when I heard that. So when I started wrestling, I started writing them down. I didn't start writing the numbers on my wrist tape until probably up around the 80s, up in the 80s, as far as matches go. I always do the 5-7-6 on the left wrist. That's an idea I had before I started wrestling. So I did that from the get-go. And then just seeing that number on my wrist and seeing the other wrist playing after a while, I just kind of thought, like, what could I put on the other one? And I was already keeping track of all my matches in the book, so I figured it would just be cool to just put the match number there.
It's actually pretty wild. Going back to Impact Wrestling, we live tweet the show every Tuesday night because we absolutely love it. And I've noticed a lot of the guys on the Impact roster are very interactive with the social media, yourself included. Is that something that you guys take initiative to do, to interact with the fans watching the show, just to get the word out about how good of a product Impact Wrestling is? Or is that just you on your own being interactive with your fans because you truly appreciate what they've done for you? Or is it a little bit of both?
It's definitely a little bit. I mean, like, I'm always going to appreciate, you know, how the fans carry us. But I also know how risky social media can be. So, like, I try to just be really like my interactions are kind of like only based around like the show, obviously.
Right.
What's happening on the show? What's relevant? Like, if it's not relevant to the show, then Ace Austin doesn't need to talk about it. So yeah, that's just, and obviously like we want to, you know, Impact is notorious for not getting, at least recently, for not getting the attention that it should. So like, that's just us all trying to really like, you know, we're not just tweeting about this because we work there. It's not just BS. Like, we want people to recognize what's going on.
And I think now more than ever, though, I think Impact has hit its stride in terms of consistency with from bell to bell in an individual show to week. So not only is it providing the best content for 2 hours on a Tuesday night, I feel it's consistently on Tuesday nights, plural. And if you don't have Access TV, you're watching on social media. You're watching on Twitch. Yeah, so social media has to play a big... Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. That's how I... Because I don't have Access, so I watch on Twitch.
I don't have cable. Yeah, I watch on Twitch.
So I feel like a lot of your... And by your, I mean Impact Wrestling's interaction with his fans is done through social media. And I think that's a big part of what you guys do. And can you speak a little bit more to that and how big... Because I think the numbers speak for themselves. It's been like the best it's ever been, if I'm not mistaken. And how do you feel like this mix of the roster plays in that?
Oh, Slammiversary, it wasn't just advertised as like a turning point for Impact. It really was. Like, advertisement was a for real thing. You know, we really did, like, the tide totally shifted, and the feeling being there totally shifted Slammiversary too. Everybody turned it up to 11 and has not turned it back down since. And like, and we're all having so much fun doing it that it's not even like people, it's not even like, oh, we're competing against each other is bringing out the best in us. It's like, we're all having a really good time doing our absolute best in whatever they need from us. Everybody at Impact so far has been really good at like taking what they're given and really killing it with that.
Yeah, and it shows every Tuesday night on Access and Twitch. Ace, we don't want to keep you much longer. I know you're a busy man. With the talented roster that is in the Impact locker room and the list of potential show-stealing matches that you could have, who's the one guy that you can't wait to get in the ring with?
So me and Rich Swann have yet to have one-on-one match yet. So we'll see how things go for him at Bound for Glory against Derek Young. And then after that, I'm very interested. in getting in there with Rich Swann. I don't think Impact has any idea what that match is going to be like.
Yeah. And Victory Road coming up, too.
They're a very busy man. How have you dealt with the pandemic situation in wrestling? I know Impact was doing tapings. And I know you were Synergy just past weekend. But from your mindset and stuff, like, how has it been for you?
It was really like a welcome. I shouldn't say welcome. It was kind of a what's the word I'm looking for? When the pandemic first hit, I had been at a point where I had not taken any time off in the last 5 years. There was never a point where I was like, oh, I'm gonna take this weekend off. Like, it's been go. You know, on the indies, I figured even if I wasn't booked, I was at shows every weekend, like meeting people, trying to get booked, like, you know, doing my thing. And that's something that people really noticed off the bat from me. And that's how I ended up making all the connections that I did that eventually led to my opportunities with Impact that got me here. So even after signing with Impact, I was still constantly on the go. And then when all the shows got canceled, it was kind of just like, I just really had to look in the mirror and be like, okay, it's time to slow down. Like, you get to slow down now, even though it wasn't my choice. And even though I probably would have never made that decision for myself to slow down a little bit, it was like, okay, you get to breathe, you know, catch up on things you haven't really been doing, or, you know, just play some video games. You know, not something I really had a lot of time for at the time, you know, just get to chill out. So, like, it definitely worked out really well. In the meantime, I was able to, you know, move out of the roommate situation, get an apartment, just, you know, really.
Get a nice little reset.
Yeah, nice little reset. Got to bring part of my, like, outside of wrestling life. Got to kind of, like, rein it in, bring it together, get my finances in order, figure some stuff out, and then just get right back to it as soon as I was able.
Back to the grind. Tomorrow night on Impact, him, Ace Austin, Molten
Fountain. That's it.
Fulton. Madman Fulton. Wow. All right. Well, at least I got it out of the way early. Tomorrow night on Impact, Ace and Madman take on the North, and the road to Bound for Glory were less than a month away, October 24th, and we'll see what happens with Rich Swann and Eric Young. Mr. Austin will be waiting in the wings at the @Ace_Austin on Twitter. Give him a follow. He's got links to his Pro Wrestling Tees store, his Impact merch. He's got collector trading cards. He does it all. So give him a follow. Support him, Ace. Thank you so much for being a part of our 500th episode. It means the world to us. We wish you nothing but the best in the future, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ace.
Austin, everybody.
Appreciate it, guys.
Be well, brother. Be sure to tune into Impact tomorrow night on Access and Twitch TV to see Mr. Austin in action. And we continue here on 500.
Ooh, baby.
That was good. That was quick.
He was awesome.
He was great. He was fantastic. I enjoyed the Batman talk.
He was Ace awesome.
Boom, boom, boom.
Would it be 500 without it?
Of course not.
Terrible puns and daddy sodas.
I don't even have a daddy soda.
Go get one. Go get one, man.
What are you waiting for?
Go chat amongst yourselves. I'm going to get myself a beverage.
Go get an adult beverage, Mr. Tony Z.
Give me a chance to talk about you.
Yeah, when the mic's not on, we can't hear you, stupid.
Yeah, dummy.
What's he doing? He's reading notes. Oh.
Oh, look at Mr. Fancy Pants.
Tony Fancy Face over here. Kevin, how are you? How's this week going for you?
I'm great. Last week when I asked him about how to put a picture up when I wasn't video-ish, he was like, no, it'll just say SW Kevin or something like that. And then this guy comes in with a picture on his thing. Oh, it just all says Kevin Garifo. Gotta change that.
Yeah. I don't know. He's very technologically savvy.
Yeah, but this is killing me that I can't hear my own voice in my earbuds.
I mean, you've had the microphone for a week, sir.
Yeah, but I understand that, but when you say test the mic, I test the mic. I put it in and I hear sounds. I didn't know there's a whole.
Oh, come on. You got all your friends that used to be on the network that know how to do this stuff.
I go to you guys. You're my go-tos.
Yeah, you can't go to us a Sunday night on at a 9 o'clock, buddy. It's a little too late.
I didn't. When you say test the mic, I'm saying plug it in, see if you hear it. I tested the mic. I didn't realize there was a whole Zoom test involved in it.
Sure. You got to make sure you can hear yourself and make sure it comes through clearly.
Yeah, it's killing me.
We'll catch you up on the technology. Once you get the hang of it, you'll be good to go.
Oh, yeah. We'll figure it out. The mic is fantastic. It picks up everything.
Now, here's a weird question, Kevin. You have your headphones plugged into your computer, right?
Correct.
Have you tried turning the volume up on your computer?
It's always up.
Okay. Sometimes when
you're not alone and this is what we're doing.
Nope. Hold on, wait. I don't think.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Sometimes when you change the settings.
Oh, no, but I heard you guys this entire time.
Okay.
Well, you know what I want to tell you guys?
What do you want to tell us, Big Tony Z?
I want to tell you that tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. My nuts are crystal clear. They look like plucked prunes, like somebody ripped the feathers out of a chicken, and it's awesome. Ladies love smooth balls. Am I wrong, fellas? I mean, come on.
Oh, you're not wrong. I'm just wondering how they're crystal clear.
Because I use... The Lawnmower 3.0, it's got shave-safe technology. I think that's skin-safe technology. Keeps your skin safe. You don't get any nicks. You don't get your ball meat in there like a fucking, like a rotisserie. Like, doesn't happen with the Manscaped. 7,000 RPMs and a light. Your power goes out. It's fucking midnight. You're taking a shower. Whatever to do, you can keep on shaving like there's no tomorrow because you ain't nicking your nuts, and that's a fact, Jack. Kev, you know what else is awesome?
What's that?
Ball deodorant. Holy Ooh. Crow. I fucking hit the DDPY the other day. My balls smell like I had a fucking bag of onions down the front of my pants. And I'm not talking fresh out the supermarket. I'm talking like mangled, chopped up, and sauteed. And somebody just poured them down my drawers. I went, took a shower, hit myself with the fucking crop dusters. I'm good to go, man. My nuts were smelling like a fucking barbershop quartet. That's right. All four of them in one spot right down here. Oh, man, it's fantastic. You guys been using the Manscaping? You got to get on the Manscaping. Come on, folks. 20% off, by the way, and free shipping. Go over to manscaped.com. Use the code Wizards. And you get everything there. You got the fucking crop preserver. You got the crop freshener, a little spritz, spritz, spritz. You're on the fucking road. You can't get down there to give yourself a good cleaning. You just spray and go, bro. That's all you got to do.
Do you think about what you're going to say before the words just tumble out of your mouth? Or are you
I'm speaking from the heart. I'm speaking the truth. And this is all fucking first world Tony shaving his nuts experience. And if you were shaving your nuts, you'd have a great story too, which I'm sure you do.
Now,
tell me about shaving your balls, Matt.
I mean, Manscaped is a great product. It's fantastic. I've been using it since we got on board with them. But Tony, let me ask you this. If your balls smell like any kind of onions, mangled or fresh,
yes,
see a doctor. And
no,
not
man, you know what, it's fucking working out, dude. Like when you hit the DDPY as hard as I do, you get that fucking stank going, and you don't want that stank on there. You get the stank off, give it a little scrubbing, give it a little freshening up, and you're good to go. And it's better with no hair, because the hair locks in that fucking that nastiness. When you got no hair, nothing to lock it in, bro. It's a fucking win-win-win situation.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Oh, here we go. Yes, all right.
Because I don't think you really...
Now, that's a read.
I don't know if you're using these products properly. When are you putting on the ball deodorant, before or after you work out?
After you shower, bro.
So you're putting your ball deodorant on after you work out?
Yeah. Because then I go in the shower and then everything gets a nice big freshness.
See, I put my ball deodorant on in the morning before I go out on the truck. And then when I come home, guess who doesn't have stinky balls? This guy. It's not a spray. It's a cream. You rub
no,
it on your
spray. There's,
you rub it on your balls. You rub it on the inside of your thighs so there's no chafing. Then I'm out in the heat all day in front of that oven. I'm working hard. Guess who doesn't have stinky, sweaty balls when he comes home from working the pizza truck?
Because you go out and about. You know I work from the home. So the only time my balls really get sweaty and disgusting is when I work out.
Right. Thanks for cutting off my read, you know, with the ball deodorant. It's good. Just go to manscaped.com and put in the code Wizards, and you'll save 20% off, and you'll get free shipping. What are you saying no for, Tony? That's what happens.
And because when you get the Lawnmower 3.0, you won't be cutting anything off except for your hair.
Right, but for the people that listen every week, I can't tell them that I shave my balls every week. My hair doesn't grow that fast.
Once a week, right? A little trim, a little freshen up.
What are you, a fucking chia pet? My hair doesn't grow that fast.
No, but I tell you this. I'll use the lawnmower on my chest hair. It fucking works just as good, bro.
I saw a guy yesterday at the farmer's market. He could have used the lawnmower on the back of his neck.
Oh, isn't that fucking gross? Like, when I get a haircut and, like, the dude just starts shaving my neck for me, I'm like, all right, dude, you don't have to go that far. I appreciate it. But
do they listen to our reads? Have you gotten any feedback from last week's 7-minute Manscaped read? No? All right, good. Oh, Kevin, you got anything about the Manscaped?
I love it.
You know what? That is perfect. That is app. That's the per. That's how long this read should have been. Manscaped.com.
I don't need people knowing my business, and I know, just know that it's great and it's worth it and it's a great gift. So if any ladies are listening and they don't necessarily need the Manscaped, but they want to get it for somebody else, 20% off, free shipping. Christmas is coming up before you know it. The way the world has been working. Get it now, man.
It's like right now. It's like life cereal. Kevin, what do you think of Manscaped? I love it. Boom. He likes it. He really likes it. Manscaped.com.
Is that life or is that checks?
I believe that is life. I believe Mikey liked the life cereal.
Or is it kicks? I think it might be kicks.
Tony, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Kids like kicks for what kicks has got. Moms like kicks for what kicks has not. No, it wasn't kicks.
It was life cereal. He hates everything while they are prodding each other and conspiring. Little Mikey, played by 3.5-year-old John, digs into a helping of life cereal,
John?
And he says, yes, he likes it.
You're right, because Mikey's actually a girl now in the new commercials. Mikey likes it is actually a...
Kevin, it's 2020. Anybody could be anything they want now.
No, I'm saying it's an actual
little
female
Mikey
performer.
Had a midlife crisis, and he realized he wanted titties.
At six.
At six. Hey, man, when in Rome or when in wherever, I don't know.
In commercial land.
Good one. When and wherever. So, Tony, there was an interesting revelation this afternoon. You said you had 3 pages worth of notes of things that we've done in the last year.
Okay.
And I think we're going to go off form. I don't think we're going to talk much current professional wrestling. I didn't watch any. You guys can if you want. And I'll just ask questions as we go along. But I like to take a page out of Dave LaGreca's book. And I think we should talk about ourselves for once. And Barry Horowitz the shit out of ourselves and pat ourselves on the back. Not go as far as saying they belong in the WWE Hall of Fame, because Barry Horowitz definitely doesn't belong in any fucking Hall of Fame. Let's just throw that out there right now. And I don't give a shit what you say, Tony. You and him are friends. Fucking wave at him on Facebook, okay? Kevin, whatever's about to come out of your mouth, Kevin, just put it back in there.
I think he belongs.
In the dub, come on.
Why not?
Look what you did. Look at what you did, Matt. I blame you. This is your fault.
Listen, I don't have
Barry Horowitz.
I could stop talking right now. I don't care. I'm just saying I think he could. I wouldn't be upset if he was.
But you're just letting everybody in the Hall of Fame then at that point.
Why not? It's a work. Let them all in. Open the floodgates. And then Manscape after.
Tony has notes. It's all about Tony tonight. All right.
Well, it ain't about fucking Barry Horowitz. I'm sorry. I like the guy too.
Episode 501, starring Barry Horowitz.
But this is the thing. Like, Matt's like, oh, we should make this all about us. And then we're talking about Barry Horowitz all of a sudden 10 seconds later.
I was throwing jabs at you, dickhead. I hope you choke on whatever you're drinking.
And then we'll buy the Brooklyn Brawler a pitcher of beer, and he won't thank us.
What?
Brooklyn Brawler? Top 5 jerk-offs I've ever met since doing this podcast. How do you like them apples?
That's a fair assessment.
That should have been a list.
What do you got, Tony? Tony, what do you got? What do you got over there, Tony? You got a list of pros and cons? Pro, you're a nerd.
Let's talk about guests that we've had over the past year. We can't start with bigger guests than this.
All right, I have guests. I have a list here that I have to prepare. Not prepare, but that I have to. Are you going to spoil any of my... you don't know him, but...
No, so then he's not going to spoil him.
I'm sure every fucking person that I read off of this list is going to be, thought about it. Nope. Thought about it. Nope.
They're actually top tens again. Oh, I have two.
Running. What, this show's going to fucking end at 3 a.m. now.
That's right. That's about work.
I'm going back just a little over a year. We had Santana and Ortiz when they were fresh out of Impact and on their way to AEW right here in studio. We had Brian Malonis. We had Myron Reed and Jordan Oliver. We met Joe Galli. We had Vinny Pacifico looking for fucking donuts for his brother.
That's right.
We had Richard Holiday to come in and talk about the Opera Cup where Hammerstone took on MJF.
The Apricot?
We had Jazzy Gabert on video with us. That was fucking crazy. And that was before all this shit started with the COVIDs. Matt had the Kirkson studio talking about mook banging. Remember that one?
Do I?
The greatest guest in the history of the Shining Wizards, Mr. Zicky Dice. Matt, fortunately and unfortunately, did the Ring of Honor 18th anniversary pre-show, which never happened. He had Joe Hendry, Slex, Vincent, and Shane Taylor on. That never went through. We had J. George come in to talk about not only his and our involvement in the RCA. Remember that? And he was also the first guest we had on the hot mic when the whole COVIDs went down. Prince Nana talking about his grande penis that was fucking all the way from here to Zimbabwe or whatever country it was. We had Royce Isaacs on. We had Guy Evans, the author of the Nitro book, on. We had Kevin's buddy, Bobby Valla, and we were pushing for a Kevin Garifo action figure. Hope that comes through for you, buddy.
You can make it happen.
Matt's favorite guest of all time, the former Frantic, Mr. Francis Wright.
Fuck that guy. I hope he chokes on his fucking tinfoil hat.
Can we get a little bit? Can we get the song?
No, that's your guy, buddy. Fuck that guy.
Getting into very recent. We've been on a fucking tear lately.
Only mentioning stuff that women.
Go ahead. You were saying? Never mind. NWA World's Women's Champion Thunder Rosa, current Impact Champion Eric Young, Mr. Dak Draper, the Von Erichs, Ross and Marshall, the MLW Tag Champs, Dave LaGreca joined us a few weeks ago, and of course, Danny Limelight, and a very good professional wrestler, not to mention Ace Austin, who also joined us tonight. Those were the guests of the past year.
Those were the days.
Veritable who's who of professional wrestling. Can I go into highlights of the year?
Oh, you have your own highlights.
Oh, I got highlights galore, baby. I got highlights galore. Let's start off with the 8th anniversary show, a great 8 that happened at the Elementary Brewing Company in Hackensack, New Jersey. Can I tell you guys a little something? After that show, I fucking cried for 3 days. 3 days after that show. I was just overcome with every fucking thing because everything fucking came together, dude.
Did you really cry?
Yeah, oh, like
for
a bitch.
3 days?
And you can probably fucking guess why I cried, you fucking asshole. Do you remember the closing number, the fucking karaoke that you fucking played on the 8th anniversary show? Yeah, you piece of shit. Exactly. Oh, he's no, please don't fucking play that song again.
But now I will because you told me reminded me about
please,
it.
Please don't. I'm not even joking. The 2019 Christmas episode with our boys, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where Matt made fun of Choppy's feet for fucking 6 hours.
Wear fucking socks, you heathen.
We were introduced to WWE ice cream sandwiches in the past year. I even did a fucking video about that.
That's a fucking highlight of the show?
I'm just fucking bringing up shit that we fucking talked about.
Who broke the story? We broke the story on the podcast.
Kevin
that was breaking news.
Fucking broke it. Yeah, there we go. See, Matt? So shut your mouth. We started this venture on the hot mic. We had the first ever Shining Wizards draft. We had the Wizards Intercontinental Tournament. We had the Wizards Cup. This was all in the past year. We fucking did half an episode on the whole speaking out movement, as unfortunate as that was. What else did we fucking talk about? We talked about the new U.S. title belt. We talked about evil becoming the fucking dual world champion. And Matt was saying everything is evil for fucking 10 weeks.
Everything is evil.
We were introduced to the Thunderdome and a crowdless WrestleMania this past year, thanks to COVID.
How are these our highlights?
Because we talked about this shit, dude. We talked about Marty Jannetty killing somebody, for Christ's sakes. Did we forget that?
He retracted that statement.
I know he did, but for a long time, we just fucking thought that Marty Jannetty was more nuts than what he was. It's not the right song, too. You're a fucking kid. And also, and finally, the introduction of Kevin's top five and Can You Beat That? Brought to us by Patreon supporter and fellow friend of the show, Sean Coelho from halfway around the goddamn world. I don't know if I bring that up enough, but all the props to him for bringing that contest to us. Do you guys have any thoughts on anything I've brought up or any memories of your own? No, Fuck you. I'm muting your fucking ass.
Why?
There you go. Matt's Why? Muted. Fuck that. No, you're muted. They, nobody else can hear you but yourself, you dick.
That's a bad move.
I'm not
move.
Fucking hearing that shit. Did he stop it?
Did I don't he stop know. It?
I can't fucking unmute him now. Son of a bitch.
Now I'm unmuted now. I'm back. Oh, you cannot silence the violence that is me.
Don't fucking do that, dude.
What did I do?
You know what you did.
What? I'm just having a good time over here. We're talking wrestling. You fucking just gave us that. That was 3 pages worth of notes?
Well, I just wanted to bring up topics. Like,
oh, Matt, they're double spaced.
Yeah, what font was that in? Fucking 36? We had ice cream bars. Evil won everything. Oh, God, the doctor handwriting. Dr. fucking Zatkos.
That's why. Kayfabe the fucking real name.
T-Donk. Yo, I wonder if WWE is listening to us. Because we come up with T-Donk, and then all of a sudden there's a T-Bar.
T-Bar. We are T-Bar.
What a fucking hunk of dog shit the WWE is. You got your girl Mercedes Martinez is in that fucking nonsense.
Yeah, what's her name? Justice?
Who gives a
we
fuck?
We can't no sell. I am T-Bar.
No, he is fucking no selling.
I am no selling it.
That's incredible.
By the way, can you run a test on the hot mic real quick? Because the fucking chat room is like blank for me. Like everything disappeared.
What? It's working fine.
It's working? Fuck. My screen is completely blank. I'm not getting the chats. I'm not getting the screen.
Oh, that sounds like your fucking problem, not mine, buddy.
I'm just going to refresh it. So if we lose the hot mic, whatever. I'm just
they're having a good time in there. You're going to kick everybody out of the hot mic.
I'm not kicking everybody out. I'm
fucking wants to mute me from playing music.
Oh, it's still streaming. Oh, it's fine. It's good. Everything's back.
I just told you it was fine.
I'm on my end, you dummy. Don't you fucking dare. Don't
what?
You dare.
What?
Fucking
what happened?
You dick.
What did I do?
You know what you did.
I did not join Retribution. I didn't say I'm T-Donk, T-Bar, T-Blue.
I am T-Bar.
T-Blow me.
Tony, you were like super jacked up this afternoon. You said you watched a ton of wrestling. So tell us what you watched there, big guy.
I watched Primetime Wrestling from the hood of fucking California.
It's in the hood now?
I guess. I don't
Why
know
can I hear myself?
I can hear myself too.
What do you mean?
Like I can hear an echo.
I asked in the hot mic if they were getting it and they said no. So
it's probably you guys?
No, it's you because you gotta fuck with things.
I didn't fuck with anything. What are you talking about? I can't fight this feeling any longer. Fuck him. Fuck you. Fuck your face. I bring some honesty to the show, and now I got to put up with this dog shit. Oh, boy. I can't even fucking unmute him. I'm so glad.
I know. When you want to unmute me, it asks me. It tells me.
Oh, I got to change that. Fuck that noise.
Why?
I don't know. Just to fuck with you.
So, do you watch the UWN? What the main event was some fucking banger of a match, right? It was Thunder Rosa and Priscilla Kelly.
Talking to you, Tony.
I know. Give me a minute. I'll be right back. And yet I'm still afraid
to let it flow. Do we just let it play so when he has to listen back to it, it's playing in the background?
Ah. This is a song that if I was on hold with like a bank or something, I would not be upset about it.
I can't believe this song makes him cry.
Matt, I'll take a second to plug something that I have going on this Friday night.
Oh, do it, Kev. Do you want me to give you different music?
No, this is perfect. Just turn it down a smidge.
All right.
Shining Wizards Kevin returns to the stage. Stand-up comedy is back. It's alive. It's well. Kevin will be doing the jokes and the yuck-yucks, and it's an outdoor show. I may have mentioned it last week, but who the heck knows? It's at the Ospac in West Orange, New Jersey, my hometown.
Wait, it's at the and what?
The Ospac. I am Googling right now to see what that stands for. It's something Performing Arts Center.
Tony's going to be upset that he missed this live read.
All right, so Comedy Under the Stars will be at the, what the heck does it stand for? Oscar Schneider Performing Arts Center. Oscar Chandler Performing Arts Center. $5, that's a cheap ticket. Richie Byrne is headlining. Myself, KP Burke, will be on the show as well.
I didn't know you were doing shows with hacks.
I'm the hack. But what's up? outdoor comedy show, social distance, fits like 1,000 people. We'll see what we can get for it. So I'm excited. So there's my plug as Tony returns.
Tony, Kevin's going to do a comedy show with the guy who used to be on the network who didn't know how to fucking plug the show of the network he was on.
Fuck that guy.
Right?
Oh, Yahtzee.
You missed Tony. Kevin's going back to doing outdoor comedy. Kevin, he's excited. Tony, this was right in your wheelhouse, and you got up and walked away.
Kevin better wear his mask.
I am going to wear my mask, especially if they don't change the mics.
Ooh. Well, you could bring your mic.
I can't bring this mic.
Why not?
Sure.
How's that going to fit on a mic stand?
You hold it.
Oh, come on. Get out of here. What am I, an amateur?
Yes.
All right.
If you were in Retribution, what would your name be, Kevin?
I was thinking about this today.
T-Dick.
Well, no, because the hyphen, everyone calls me K-Garf, so that was the easy answer. But then I was thinking of, like, stupid funny answers, and now the music is silent, so it's going to sound even less funny. I was thinking, like, I don't know, like Fiddlesticks or something like that. It's Fiddlesticks! He's coming for Retribution. That was all I had, and it's terribly unfunny. And this is what you can expect. This Friday night in West Orange, New Jersey, at the Oscar Schneider Performing Arts Center.
Where's the Oscar Schneider Performing Arts Center located?
On Prospect Avenue in West Orange? I don't know. Just Google OSPAC. I have no idea where it is.
Cool. Tony, you were talking about the UWN before you abruptly got up and went to shit your pants.
Thunder Rosa and Priscilla Kelly. Wow.
Yeah.
It was a fucking banger, dude. I didn't know what to expect because last time we saw Priscilla Kelly, she was doing this shit on the fucking on MLW. Remember when she came out and she was like with Jimmy Havoc and all that?
And she was the spider lady?
Yes.
Ah.
And then she came out and she had like a 4-minute thing on the Jericho Cruise. And then that was it.
Right.
But holy fuck, they tore the house down, dude. It was an unbelievable match. Our boy Danny Limelight, unfortunately, lost his match.
But Danny Limelight had an excellent showing at New Japan Strong.
Well, there you go.
And he won his match.
He
won his match against Barrett Brown.
Nice. Very nice. But listen, forget about all that. Because this week, your buddy, the third degree national champion, Aaron Stevens, master of Mongrovian karate, defends said championship against Trevor Murdoch. That's going to be fucking fire.
My buddy?
Yeah, your buddy.
Is he going to have Josephus with him?
No, why would he have Josephus with him?
Oh, I'm sorry. The question mark. Is he going to have the question mark with him? I keep getting those two confused. I'm sorry.
I mean, look, I can understand the confusion, but no. Maybe the question mark will be there. Not
hold
sure.
Hold on. Last week you didn't understand the confusion because I said they had similar body types, and then you thought I was insinuating that they were the same person, but now this week you understand the confusion. So they do have similar body types.
Right. Well, yeah. I did a little bit of research this past week, and you know, I could see that. I'm not going to look. That's your facts, and I'm going to let you have your facts. But the fact of the matter is they're two different people.
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into this conversation right now.
Oh, of course you are.
Since I have two lists that we could potentially do tonight, do you want to dive right into one right now?
Fuck it, yeah. Let's
fuck
do
yeah.
It. Let's do it.
I like it. I like it because we got two, and we can always stop if we have a guest call in or this and that. But gentlemen, this is Kevin's top five, which I guess it should be top five for 500, but 500 episodes is too many for just five answers. So we're going full 10 spot here for both lists. And this one I just kind of threw together, but I think it's pretty good. And I'll entertain all arguments or all ones that should be on. Because, listen, we've had the biggest stars in the world on this podcast. So my list at this time is the 10 current big names in wrestling. Not Hall of Famers, not... They're currently active on our TV every week in a major, major way. You know what? I should probably slim this down. It's AEW or WWE for this list. No disrespect to Impact. It's my favorite show. But this is AEW and Impact Wrestling. I just noticed that it was just that right now. So top 10 right now. And I'll leave it at that for now.
Are these are past guests of the Shining Wizards Wrestling
Podcast. Past guests of the pod.
Now, I got a bunch right last week, so Tony, I'll let you go first.
Jericho.
I didn't think about that, no. but okay, let me redo this. Let me redo this.
Wait, hold on. You didn't put Jericho on your list?
It's not even a 5, dude. It's a 10.
No, I know, because I prefaced it wrong. It's the biggest stars in the world right now that weren't necessarily there when we had them on. A couple of them are, but...
Jericho wasn't in AEW when we had him on.
I know that, but he was still Chris Jericho. And you're going to dispute two of them for sure, because it's going to fall into the same category.
Oh, my
but they
God.
Weren't...
Your fucking questions give me a headache.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
But they weren't where they are now. They weren't in the position they were now.
Do I get to go?
Yeah, these are easy. These are all easy.
These are easy. I thought Tony gave the easiest answer. I'll go with Darby Allin.
No.
Okay. Tony, balls good in one. Your court.
Good one.
Santana and Ortiz.
Yes. They are number 4 on the list. Again, this might not be a number centric. They're all equal to me. So number 4 is Proud and Powerful.
MJF.
MJF, I have as number 1 on this list, just because his rise was ridiculous. I want to say we caused that.
Tony, to you.
Oh my God, Matt, you look so disinterested.
Did you say Darby Allin?
I did. I got X'd. I got the X.
Literally 5 seconds ago, he said Darby Allin. Come on, 500 guys, 500 episodes.
Brian Pillman Jr.
No.
Brian Cage.
No.
Lance Archer.
No.
Apollo Crews.
Yes. Apollo Crews is number 8 on the list. Oh, yeah.
Tony, side bet.
Drew Gulak.
No, that's a good one, though.
Tony, side bet. Odds that somebody on the list was never on our show.
No, I went through the list.
I can't take that action because I agree with you.
But two of them, you're going to say that they were already major, major guys.
Well, there you go.
But they're on our TV every week now, and they're bigger than they were at the time.
Is one of them Brian Myers?
No.
Okay.
Miro.
What did you say?
Miro.
Do we have Miro on?
Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela.
No.
Neither
wait,
one.
No, wait. Joey Janela is number 10.
Of course.
But remember, there are two lists, all right? So.
All right.
Tony, I'm going to smack your stupid face in this computer. Don't get angry Kevin out. I was so negative, now my positivity is coming through, and you're going to bring it right back.
There's no video on the hot mic, just an FYI.
Oh, for real?
Who cares?
No video.
Oh, there
video.
It is. It's back. Sorry.
What are you doing to me, dude?
Let's see.
500 episodes.
How many did we get right so far?
3.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, 4. Oof.
All right, we got.
And one of them is a behind-the-scenes guy, so one of them is not an on-air talent.
Oh, so Pat Buck is on the list.
No.
Joe Galli?
No.
Jerry Lynn.
I'll give you this one. I'll give you number 9.
No.
Jerry Lynn.
No.
Bob Lynn,
yes. Bob Lynn is on the week.
Bob Lynn, my balls in your mouth.
Matt, we interacted with him personally, and it was one of our favorite days ever.
Was it Kerry Silken?
No, that was a good one, though.
We interact, and it was one of our favorite. Was I drunk for it?
We were both probably drunk.
I interacted with someone.
But you drove, so probably not that bad. Come on. This is a good one. I used to send them free food.
Oh, Gabe Sapolsky.
Executive.
I wasn't drunk for that. That was fun.
I know. It was a good time.
What did he come in at?
List?
9.
9. He was number 9 on the list.
But yeah, it's
behind the scenes.
He works for WWE now. who's a major player in NXT.
I thought he was out.
He's out of Evolve. He's not out of.
No, I thought he was out of wrestling.
No, he retired from Evolve, from WWN. He's no longer with them.
He devolved.
No, well, he didn't. Evolve is dead, so he's out. He's been out for a while. I thought he retired.
He retired from WWN.
There is no WWN.
Yes, Eddie Kingston took it over. Now has the Grindhouse.
The Grindhouse, interesting. Eddie Kingston.
Out of my head.
Ooh, that's a good one, but no.
Look at my eye.
Two of them are main eventers, and they were main eventers before they were on our show, but they're main eventers in different places now.
Oh, what the fuck? And it's not Chris Jericho?
No.
It's Jake Roberts.
Oh, good call, Jake Roberts.
No.
One
of them was in Ring of Honor when he was on our show.
Thunder Rosa.
Matt Hardy.
No.
Wasn't Matt Hardy?
Ace Austin. Chris Gavin.
I'm just going to tell you. Guys, you guys are going to... These are all obvious answers.
Oh, well, of course.
I'm going to tell you. Want me to do it?
Matt, do you have any more?
They were main eventers before where they are now, but now they're bigger stars because of where they are. Maybe not one, but maybe not both, but...
Go nuts. Let me hear it.
All right, number two. The phenomenal AJ Styles.
All right, but he was
a boo. If you can't have Jericho on the list, then why again you have AJ Styles on the list?
Because Chris Jericho was a bigger star than AJ Styles before he was on our show.
What? Wasn't AJ Styles a former New Japan World Champion?
He was an IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
That's fair, but I consider Jericho a bigger star. Sorry.
There you go.
Number three is also an equally as big of a star who had very much success in New Japan, Kenny Omega.
All right, fair enough.
Number four, you got Proud and Powerful. Number five, recently has been a mainstay on SmackDown Live and NXT, Matt Riddle.
All right, you know what? I can't shit on the list. The list is actually very good.
Number seven is a collective group of three guys.
The Ugly Ducklings.
Lucha House Party. The Triple Threat.
Era. The Undisputed Era.
Wow. Wait. Yeah, fuck, we've had all those guys on. Wait, did we ever have Roddy Strong on?
Yep.
So we had all four of them on.
Yeah, all four, yeah.
Yep, wow. There was a big to-do about the Roddy interview because it was after AJ hurt his neck and we couldn't talk about it. And somebody who's no longer with the podcast threw a fucking fit because we couldn't ask that one question.
And so that...
I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Our podcast is always three guys. It's awesome.
So I'll give you the questionable ones are Gabe and... Oh, number six. I forgot about number six. Chris Statlander. The alien.
Chris Gethard, the alien?
Chris Statlander.
So Chris Statlander made it over Drew Gulak?
Yeah.
And who else did I name?
Well,
Jericho.
True Prince of Pro wants to know why Gabe Sapolsky made it over Drew Gulak. How is that even possible?
Very good question. It's fair. Fair. I'll take the criticism when it's warranted. I just think that Gabe's rising to like where he was and what we, I guess, our kind of relationship with him then. It just seemed more important to me, even though Drew Gulak was in studio. Very fair point, very fair criticism. And I would probably replace Gabe with Drew.
Next week.
Yeah, I'll do the same exact list next week.
But you still replace... don't get them right.
Those aren't bad. Come on, you didn't hate the whole list. It was just
Gabe. No. No, a lot of those we definitely just didn't think of. It was actually a good list, and we just sucked this week.
Yeah, and again, these weren't necessarily in order per se. I think MJF's rise to stardom was incredible, and we had him on before that. So
MJF was in stardom?
Yeah, he was in drag. It was a really weird gimmick. It's something he doesn't like to talk about.
I wouldn't talk about it either.
He wore a lot of face paint, though, so you couldn't tell it was him.
Oh, yeah.
You know who can't suck tonight, Tony?
Who's that?
This guy. Big challenge. No, not you. You suck every night.
For $10, I'll suck anything.
Oh, with the $10 for a suck. This isn't 1987.
All right, $20.
I feel like it needs to be a little more. I don't know, though. The kids seem to be doing all sorts of crazy shit for free, so.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. This generation just gives everything away.
Find the lowest cameo, and then I think that's where you set the bar.
I think there's cameos for like $5, aren't
they? Yeah, but you don't want like some dude who just puts a fucking like mask on and says he's like Tim the Great Wrestler. That doesn't count. He's nobody.
Fuck. Somebody we didn't bring up in the history of the past year. Colin West. Harry the Dump Tiger.
Hey, ooh. Kayfabe, dude.
No, I'm not saying he's Harry the Dump Tiger.
No, you
tiger.
Just...
He
now
brought
you just...
Harry the Dump Tiger to the table. Don't you fucking rub your eyes at me. You're
why? What if I have allergies or COVID or I have something in my eye? Did you ever think about that, dickhead?
No, I didn't think about that.
What are you doing, Kevin? 2 second pose.
Kevin froze.
Kevin's off. No, he's moving. His arm's moving. He's I can moving. See it.
those are just the shakes.
Aboo.
Kevin's got
aboo.
Holy shit. What happened to us? This is the 500th episode.
Yeah, I think it's too. There's a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Yeah.
A lot of pressure to perform. We're not doing our usual format. 500 episodes is a long time. It's a lot of episodes.
Let's put you guys on the table.
Bring it, baby.
Putting me on the table?
I'll throw anyone under the bus.
We'll throw you both on the table. Weirdest moment in 500 episodes.
Weirdest. The time Joey Janela wanted to fight me. That was pretty weird.
T-Donk, because that, I'll spoil alert, that's on my next list, that episode.
Oh, we got to go through another list?
You don't have to. I can save it.
I don't know. Weirdest moment?
I mean, we clearly needed to interrupt what the hell we were talking about before.
I don't know if it's weird, but finally giving Louis his Dilly Award.
That definitely qualifies as weird.
Not having but Raven end the conversation because you weren't paying attention and you asked the same question.
That wasn't weird. That was just fucking really awkward.
For you, it was awkward.
Fucking disappointing. I think I've learned from that incident. Kev, what's the weirdest thing to you?
Probably the Louis.
The Dilly?
Probably having that. Yeah, having the Dilly for Louis in my presence was very awkward.
Oh, you know what was weird? Oh, wait a minute. Cat ass alert. I got a new update for this. Hold on. Where's the cat? It's a cat alert. It's a cat ass alert. I'm sorry. Sonny Kiss telling us that he wanted to have a baby with a woman. Wasn't that something that he talked about?
That
right?
Again, another spoiler. That episode is also on my next list.
Should have done that list. We would have got them all right.
That was bonus content. That was when we used to have to get off the air at 9 o'clock. So you had to be podcaster to get that information.
Then we realized that the network that we're on, that we broadcast on, has nothing better to do than us. So we can stay on as long as we want now.
Well, we moved to Monday nights, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, sell it.
Oh, I'm still fucking playing Kevin's game music here. I forgot this thing is like an hour long.
Oh, you couldn't hear it.
I heard it.
I couldn't hear it.
Oh, you can't hear anything.
Oh, right. Why?
Cat's ass has to go away. What time is Chris calling in?
Like 8:15-ish.
Oh, okay.
That's gonna be a cool talk because of all like the history that we have with him, and then with what he did and with the Dark Side of the Ring stuff is like, that's like super cool to me. Like how did he get that gig? How did it all come in together? And he did a pretty good job with it for what he had to work with, because this is COVID. This is COVID times, baby. Hard times
is super cool.
Hey, Matt, what was more disappointing to you? The Attitude Era or the COVID Era?
The COVID Era is not done yet, so you got to give me time on that.
Oh, come on. But what's like so far? Because you've made it clear that a lot of the Attitude Era was not fun for you, and it sucked, you say, a lot.
A lot of it does not stand up the test of time. Watching it back, it's not good. A lot of it is bad. I think a lot of the COVID era stuff is pretty bad too. But let's wait and see, because rumor is this Roman Reigns thing is going to end with him and The Rock at WrestleMania. So get ready for that.
Yeah, but didn't we say that years ago that at some point this was going to be a thing in Hollywood? The Rock was going to main event with Roman.
I mean, look, heel Roman's awesome, so I'm not against it. I just don't understand why SmackDown is so much better than Raw, and Raw, who's ever writing Raw is like, hey, Hey, you, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing over there. It's making sense. They're telling good stories. Maybe we should do it over here. No, let's give the invading people a contract and then announce it that they have a contract now.
I don't know if you heard the latest, but they weren't on the pay-per-view and they're not going to be around for the next 2 weeks because they were around people that were infected with COVID. So Retribution's going to be gone for a while.
So Retribution is getting retribution.
They're getting retributed?
Rebutide?
They're getting redistributed?
Karma?
Baby Brown, baby.
Baby. As soon as I said it, I was like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it.
Fucking Overweight Larry. My God. How can we talk about our show without talking about Overweight Larry? A fucking stalwart of the Shining Wizards archives. Jeez Louise.
What a weird time to be alive those days were, huh?
Yeah, you know, we had what? The Ghost of the Macho Man? No, the Ghost of... Who were you? The Ghost of the Macho Man?
Yeah, it was Ghost of the Macho Man.
But I didn't have confidence in myself to do it well, so... I didn't do it. I kind of dropped it. And every time I would kind of bring it back every now and then, but
I can't tell you the last time Matt did Satan on the show. Oh, I'm sorry. Satan appeared on the show. Yep.
Fucking hey, dude. Come on.
He's ruined everything.
Fuck yous all. Hey, you like them apples? Hey, King Switch. Switch this. Dare. I told you this.
Matt, we got picks?
No, we don't have picks. We got to do picks this week. Are you serious?
We got results, eh?
I didn't watch anything, but I thought I went over. Oh,
we did talk about it. Yeah, we did talk about it.
Cool. Can we talk AEW?
Sure. Let's talk AEW. I didn't watch that either, but you can talk about it. Talk about it. Come on. Give me some wrestling talk.
You got it, Tony.
Fucking Miro has potential to be a big star. Putting him in a match with Kip Sabian and Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela was not the way to do it. It was rough.
Why does everybody have to come in and be the big star? They got enough people. Why does everyone have to be the guy?
Way above what they put him in to start this out, dude. Sorry. No offense to the other three people involved in the match. It was rough. What?
Question, sir.
Yes.
Rusev, Miro, he was let go by the WWE in March, right?
Yeah.
April.
And there was a pandemic, and there's been COVID, and there hasn't been a lot of wrestling shows, right?
Okay.
So I agree with Kevin's point, and also the thing, Ring Rust, is such a thing. Why are we going to try and push him into a high-profile match when you might get another Brian Cage moment, where Brian Cage is not really ready?
But don't put him in a 20-minute tag match, dude.
I thought he was fun.
You know, Kev, the match was not fine. The match was not fine. There were blown spots galore. You could hear Joey Janela screaming, "Are you all right?" to Kip Sabian on the outside. Not to mention when fucking Rusev went to the outside and he came up hobbling, he legit got hurt. And if you just fucking signed a big star and he's going to fucking be in a waste tag match and he's going to get fucking hurt on top of that, look, I know injuries can happen anytime, but come on, man. That was a bad debut for Miro. Really bad.
And maybe I wasn't. Maybe I didn't.
He came out looking like $1 million, dude. His gear was fucking hot. Agreed. He was all muscled up. He was ready to go. He looked like $1 million.
No argument there. And maybe I wasn't totally invested and eyes on the match as you were, because I don't remember any major malfunctions, but that's just because I just wasn't super dialed in. I had it on. But I mentioned this last week too. Like, come on, can we just get to the? Not every match is going to be a 5-star match. Not every match is going to be a 4-star match. Not every match is going to be a 3-star match.
I get that. But it was rough.
But you got four people. Three out of the four of them may have worked together on a different level on more times than not. But then you have this new guy coming in who probably, I'm going to guess, he hasn't worked with any single one of them. So, it's not everything's going to be dandelions and freaking unicorns
but roses. A lot of the roughness didn't involve Miro. A lot of the roughness was the other three competitors. Like, there was just like blatant telegraphing of stuff. And it's like, come on, you guys are better than that. Tighten that shit up, you know?
All right, so are we gonna be the ones that critique every single match, every single time it happens, every time there's a stinker?
What do you want me to say? It was great. All right, it was great. It was amazing match. Five stars in the Thunderdome.
But the bigger picture is the storyline with Miro and Kip, and that Miro and getting Miro over as the best man.
But that wasn't the way to do it. Now, women's tag match, okay, could have been better, but there wasn't really like a lot of terrible stuff in there. I enjoyed it. The main event, Moxley and Kingston, those guys threw down, and it was awesome. They beat the living hell out of each other. That was a great main event. The segment with the with FTR, with the stuff with all of SCU, good stuff, right? We want the match now. Nah, sorry, we're going to come back next week. Good heel shit. Yeah, liked it.
And here's the great thing about AEW, just when you think that, like, someone's out of, like, you know, the picture or, like, not being used right, they flip it around and put them right back in something, whether it's for a week. It might not be a long-term program, but whether it's for something. Like, where's SCU been? Like,
well, they've all been out on their own. That's the thing.
Exactly.
I think what they're doing is they're trying to just build a little bit of fodder and a little bit more of dickishness with FTR. So when they finally get the payoff with the Young Bucks, who are also going heel, they broke poor Tony Schiavone's phone. You know, so that there's a build there. I get that. And that's good stuff.
And here's the other thing. It's okay to everyone loves long-term storytelling, which, of course, ideally in a perfect world, amazing. But it's okay to book something for a TV show. Like, it's okay to have like a 1 week thing where like SCU, like, I'd rather have SCU on my TV in a main event spot every week. But like I mentioned before with Miro, it can't happen for everybody. So it's okay to build to a one match thing, because that makes that TV show work. And that's why I love what Impact has been doing, is they build to something. Maybe long term it's been good, but the bell to bell from 8 to 10 is just as good. And I think AEW does a decent job of doing that.
Tony, how would have you debuted Miro?
Put him in there with Joey Janela and let him just toss him around for 5 minutes. Don't even let Janela get heat on him. Have Sonny Kiss try to get involved, and either Sabian cuts him off or Miro just cuts him off as well.
So why not? You're going to book him the same way they booked Lance Archer.
Well, what else are you going to do with him? You're going to put him in a tag match? I mean,
I'm just asking.
What else you're going to do with him is what they did with him. That's what else. There's other things than booking a big guy to look like a freaking monster. They're bringing out the personality in him that WWE never did, other than him chanting Rusev Day for whatever, which they didn't even want to do other than making a t-shirt.
Did they really bring out any personality in him in this match, though?
The promo was pretty fun with them lifting weights and
yeah, the promo was great. I'm talking about the
match. All right. Well, they all go one. They all go together. Mr. Donkulous.
They sure don't. The promo was fire. The in-ring stuff was not good. I'm sorry. It wasn't good. Here's something else I didn't understand. Brody Lee is really starting to turn on me.
Oh, I'm
seeing stars with that guy.
Me too. Me too, Dunker.
Here's the problem.
Oh boy.
You bring this back as Cody's big return, which that's I'm sure he wasn't going for the Green Day look, but that's what he looked like. Let's be honest. He looked like Billy Joel.
God, fucking pick apart something else. Why don't you?
I'm fucking ripping on him. All right. I'll pick something else apart.
Wait, but Billy Joel had bleach blonde hair. He never said anything about that.
No, he dyed his hair black at some points.
Yeah, but they all had – everyone dyed their hair something one or the other.
You're going to pick nits over the fucking liner, Kevin, with a fucking throwaway line. You're going to analyze me now?
I'm picking nits over your nitpicking.
Pick these nits. Pick these hairless nits right here.
That's right. Manscaped.com.
Anyway, I'm shaking the whole fucking computer here. Orange Cassidy has these fucking fire matches with Jericho, and he gets this title shot against Brody Lee. And Brody Lee comes out, wins the title by absolutely destroying Cody. And then Orange Cassidy comes out. He starts out with the kicks again. And then he gives Brody Lee a hard time. And fucking Brody Lee has his 18,000 minions out there. And Orange Cassidy's still kicking the shit out of him. And then he falls prey to the finishing move. It's like, I don't know, man. Fucking Brody Lee is your champ. He fucking completely decimated Cody Rhodes. And here's Orange Cassidy, who comes in fucking around and then nearly beats the guy. And he fucking overcomes all this outside bullshit. And then after he fucking just comes up short after making Brody look like a fool, then we bring out Cody. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of like Orange Cassidy was way stronger than what Cody was in that match. And then it's like, oh, Cody's back. Well, Cody just got slaughtered. And then not only that, he ripped through Cody's family too. So it's like, now Orange Cassidy came within a hair of fucking winning the championship, and now Cody's back. It's like, I'd rather see Orange Cassidy again, because Orange Cassidy was this close to doing it.
That's everything in pro wrestling, though.
I don't know. It bugged me, though. I wouldn't have brought back. I wouldn't have brought back Cody then at that point.
What did you? Were you bugged when Brock Lesnar ran roughshod all over the WWE and Goldberg beat him in like 2 minutes at Survivor Series?
No, because that fucking made sense.
Why?
And then how did he win the rematch?
Crusty old dude came out of retirement who hasn't wrestled in fucking 15 years, and he beat Brock Lesnar, who's just destroyed everybody in the WWE. You're fucking picking nits, dude. It's wrestling.
It made sense. It made sense.
It made sense. That's
Brock Lesnar was never in the ring with somebody like that, and he fucking came up short. And then what happened in the rematch? He outsmarted him in the rematch. Did somebody come along in the interim and just fucking like bring Goldberg to his limit? No. What did Goldberg do when he was in there with Kevin Owens? He destroyed Kevin Owens too. Right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, so it took some cunning maneuvering and some outsmarting for Brock Lesnar to reclaim what was his, the championship. What was the rematch? The rematch was what? 2 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
And it was everything it needed to be. That was a perfect
It's all the same, though.
It's not all the same.
It is all the same. I think it's all the same.
All right, we agree.
I didn't even watch Dynamite, so I shouldn't even be talking about this with you.
You can talk about it all
you know what we should be talking about? Maybe this is something we save for after Chris Gethard calls. Road Warrior Animal.
That's true. Friend of the show, Road Warrior Animal.
Kevin, we can't hear you at all, buddy.
Yeah, Kev, turn your mic on.
We could talk to Chris about that because he had him on Dark Side of the Ring After Dark. So that'd be something that we could bring up with him as well. And what sucks? And it's so morbid. It's like, it doesn't surprise me. Is that terrible to say?
No, it's terrible that it happened.
Right.
I don't think it's necessarily terrible to say that.
No, I mean, look, we do a wrestling podcast, and sadly, a lot of the people that we grew up watching abuse their bodies in more ways than one. And some people, it caught up to them a lot quicker. And some people, it may have just taken time. And some people, it was natural causes. But it happens, you know. I think it was an old bit on the O&A show where he would announce every time a wrestler had died. And I think the longest they had gone was like 23 days at one point.
Yeah. That's just frightening.
Well, I mean,
like Matt said, look at what they go through. Even guys that don't abuse, you know, drugs or alcohol or anything like that. I mean, look at friend of the show, Mikey Whipwreck. He's been in awful pain the past couple of weeks because his back is killing him. And he doesn't do any of the extracurriculars. He's just fucked up because of what he did in the ring. It fucking happens, dude. These guys go through a lot. Even everybody on the straight and narrow fucking has things wrong with them. You know what I'm saying? Hulk Hogan, who never used his fucking moveset in the United States, worked the same fucking match all the time. He's got both hips replaced. His back is fucked up. He's got all kinds of shit implemented and implanted in there, you know?
And we did a whole tag team tournament with the Twitter votes, and we all kind of assumed that the Legion of Doom were going to win that, and they did. But do you guys, to this day, you guys still feel like they are, not just because of this in general, best tag team of all time?
I'd say
top five.
I think when you think of the what they brought to a match, when you know the Road Warriors were in town, the Road Warrior pop, the look, you know, they didn't go in there and do, and nothing against someone like an Apollo Crews or Keith Lee, but they weren't in there being giant muscle dudes doing like fucking standing moonsaults and shit like that. Like, they went in there and they beat the fuck out of people because they were two giant fucking monstrous dudes. I think they are. I think they were an attraction, and I think, you know, you weren't going to see a five-star wrestling match with them. You were going to see a fight. And between the music and the look and the shoulder pads and all that jazz, I mean,
And I've always countered with that. I think that the Dudleys are the best tag team of all time. And I think their championships justify that. But like after hearing all like the comments after, you know, first Hawk's passing and now Animal's passing, like what people say about them, it makes me reevaluate. It's nothing that I've never not known before, but it's just like, I think they said like the NWA, like the non WWE guys. And of course we all know that they all ended up being there, but like, if you had Ric Flair, and I forget, I think Rosenberg said this, if you had Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, or the LOD, the Road Warriors, on your card and you weren't WWE, you were still selling out the place. I don't think you could say that about the Dudleys. Like, I don't think you could say, like,
no, with all due respect to the Dudleys, you can't say that about the Dudleys.
Yeah. Like, you could have, like, the Road Warriors could be headlining your show, no matter how big, no matter how small, you're going to get people there and you're probably going to sell out the place. I can't say that about the Dudleys. I can't say that about any other tag team.
Look, the Road Warriors were the Road Warriors were must see. You know, you had to see the Road Warriors. It's like Austin at his height. Like, just to be at one Raw or a SmackDown or a fucking house show, like, just to hear the glass break and see Austin stomped, like, you had to see it. People went fucking nuts for it.
Yep. And I'm not even just talking about the WWE stuff, even though the Whoa, what a Rush is probably the best thing. That was probably the only good thing about the Road Warriors WWE multiple runs. I think that's like all the runs have been marginally forgettable in WWE other than that music. I mean, and after the mid early 90s, a lot of their runs in general, I mean, and again, that's no disrespect because they were getting older at that point, but I think the best thing that happened to them in WWE was that music.
The music was very iconic for them. Their run in the WWE was very, very bland.
Like, I had to go back, because I'm in this, like, 91 hitch again. I had to go back and try to remember, like, when did the Road Warriors win the belts? Because I know, like, you know, Nasties beat the Hearts at WrestleMania, and then you had... And then you had the Nasties beat the Hearts at WrestleMania 7. And then I was like, when did the Warriors beat the Nasty Boys? And then I had the SummerSlam 91. And it took me a couple minutes to get back to that. We have a guest.
We do have a guest joining us now, friend of the show, Mr. Chris Gethard. Chris, I like the whale, whatever's going on behind you there.
Well, you might notice there's two beds. And I'm not fancy enough to have two beds in my house. I just did a comedy show in a field in Connecticut behind a motel. And for the green room, they get you a hotel room. And it's a real shitty hotel. I guess I can curse because you yellow star. Yeah.
I like the whales, though.
Thanks. Yes. Yeah. And I was quite impressed. But yeah, I can't take any credit. It's not like when I get to my hotel room, I hang up my own whale decorations. They were here. They were already here.
Do you think you could snag one of those for us?
Oh, I mean, they actually don't even have my info on the room, so maybe I'll see before I leave.
Imagine if you had to fly to a show, and they had to like scan like your bags, and they're like, "What are these? What are these? Oh, they're just my whales."
Yeah, yeah, it would be a nightmare. It would be a nightmare. Is what that would be. Congrats on 500 episodes, fellas.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Chris, thank you. Thanks for joining us. This is a long time coming. We were in the middle of talking about Road Warrior Animal, and for those not familiar, you did the Dark Side of the Ring After Dark, and you were part of the Road Warrior episode. Your thoughts on Road Warrior Animal?
I got to speak with him just a few months ago, and he was honestly just such a nice, genuine guy, and he seemed just really psyched that people still kind of pointed to them as having an impact and as a big part of their childhoods. And he just came off as a very together and kind. And so I was so bummed when I heard, I would have been bummed in general, you know, because he was part of my childhood. But then the fact that I just talked to him and he was one of the good guys, that was a real heartbreaker.
And your job as the Dark Side of the Ring After Dark host was to try to bring a little bit of, you know, joy to these terrible stories that happened in wrestling with your sense of humor. Talking to these guys that were involved in all these stories, where did you get a sense that their place was in life now when they see so many of their own in bad situations or, you know, ultimately passing away? Are they still, were they still enjoying where they were?
Well, first let me say that you're like when we want you to host a comedic after show, Dark Side of the Ring, which I had already watched the whole first season. You're like, oh yeah, and we're going to start with a two-parter about Benoit and you got to bring the jokes after. I was like, well, all order. And it was supposed to be a show in a studio in Brooklyn. They had a whole studio built and it was going to be interviews with wrestlers and then comedy bits. And instead they were like, no studio. We're going to film our first one in 3 days. It's just you on a webcam talking to Greg the Hammer Valentine. So that's a tall order. That was a tough gig. And a lot of the wrestling fans, you know, some people, a lot of people were like, what is this? I'm like, I was glad the job still exists. It's tough, right? Like, as far as the reactions, you know, like Animal's a great example of, he was a guy who I think had a very, very, maybe just because it was also Hawk, like a guy who was attached at the hip. You could feel that for him, there's like a real sense of empathy and humanity in it. I would say the sad part is that for a lot of these guys, there wasn't much emotion behind it because that's just the world they live in, you know, like Greg Valentine. Valentine told me a story and I was surprised it kind of didn't make the rounds more in the wrestling world, where he talked about, you know, all the Superfly stuff. And he told a story about Vince McMahon paying off Superfly got caught apparently smuggling cocaine internationally from Israel back to the States or vice versa. And Vince McMahon paid it off. And that's a story that, like, you know, if I told that story, it would be, I'd be like, oh, and then he gets caught, man. He's just like, yeah, you know, he's covered up the murder. And then also, you know, there's that thing where he's selling the cocaine. And it's like, just matter of fact, that you're like, oh, these guys really live hard, to the point where that they don't even understand that that's an insane story.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that these guys are so,
it's floored me,
desensitized to it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how, you know, all of our childhood wrestlers, the people we grew up watching, you know, when they die, you're not, I don't want to sound harsh, but you're not necessarily surprised.
Yeah. I remember asking a few of them. I mean, I got to talk to Jake, you know? And that, I mean, he's like top five all time for me. Like, and you know, I think a lot of us, that always rotates. Like, he's, you know, there's stretches where I'm like, there was never anybody better. Cause I always felt like with Jake Roberts, it was like, he was in a whole era where everything was a cartoon. And then he'd just look into the camera and be like, you know, you've pushed some buttons and I don't know why you would push them. And you're going to make me do things that I regret. And that's saying so much. Papa Shango, you know, like it's a cartoon era. And he'd make you feel, oh man, Jake's going to fucking kill that voodoo priest. He's really serious this time. And just talking with him, and then, you know, he's probably been through about as much as anybody who's still alive, certainly. And I think probably lived harder than a lot of the people who did die and just got lucky. And just, you know, being able to, so many of them, I just asked a version of the same question, which was like, are people with these problems attracted to wrestling because, you know, you get to travel so much and you get to keep leaving cities behind and maybe consequences and you don't have personal relationships. So people pick up on your DNA. Is it power trading or does wrestling bring this stuff out of you? The Scott was that sadly, I think people were like, you know, kind of happens in both directions all the time, which is, I also think it's kind of a miracle that you hear that modern day wrestling, apparently these, locker rooms are much more squeaky clean by all accounts, which is the fact that it's cleaned up is really astounding and such a positive.
So let's do a little flashback because, you know, we've all, for the most part, have known you for a long time, some longer than others. Wrestling has always been, I know, a part of your life.
Yeah.
So first question, how stoked were you when you got the gig to do the Dark Side thing? And I know you've had some experience with guys like Colt and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So like, how stoked were you to be a part of something wrestling related on national television? And two, what were your, like, what drew you into this, to professional wrestling, and how did it come full circle to the dark side of the ring?
Well, I was very stoked. I was really quite stoked, especially because, like I said, I don't know if they'll let me do more, but it was supposed to be like a student. It was almost going to be like a late night talk show that revolved around wrestling with the Mentors as a springboard. And there were all bits planned. I was like, so I will say I was definitely a little heartbroken that it just went like, hey, it's you and two wrestlers on a webcam and then like an author on a webcam. And you're just trying to make sure everybody doesn't interrupt each other. And, you know, I also think, too, it was I would actually look back and say now people, I think, have gotten these pandemic TV shows. They kind of know how to do them. This was one where it was like, hey, 2 days, 3 days notice, we're changing the whole thing. So it was choppy. So I'm a little bummed. I was so psyched wrestling thing, and definitely feel like just, you know, nature of the pandemic it is. It was a little bit of a missed opportunity in that way quickly, but that's the end of that one. And then I just remember, you know, like, I think like many people who are the younger brother in a family, so many of the things, if you ask me why did you get into X, the answer is because my older brother liked it. Some of my earliest memories are my brother showing me wrestling, us watching wrestling and trying to do moves on each other. When I was like 4 or 5 years old, the first album I ever owned was a cassette copy of the wrestling album, the one with what I would say is actually the underrated song in music, You Eat Your Heart Out, Rick Springfield by Jimmy the Mouth of South Heart. Legitimately good song, if you ask me. So that was when I was 5 or 6 years old. I had that. And I was born in 1980. So you also think about that. And that was rock and wrestling. I was 5 when that cartoon was on. Like, it was a cultural sensation in the exact era when a kid like me was going to get caught up in it. So I kind of had no choice.
Now, you've done a lot of stuff, Chris, with your show, the Chris Gethard Show, and you brought some wrestlers in. I know you did something with Tito Santana. Did you let him cut your hair, or lack thereof?
I did not let him cut my hair. I don't really have to lose, and no offense to Tito, but I'm not, I haven't researched his hair cutting abilities, although I do understand that it is a thing. Part of why we got him was because one of the guys who helped make my show grew up in Roxbury, New Jersey, and was like, oh, yo, we should get Tito on. And I was like, all right, yeah, how are we going to get Tito on? He's like, well, his son was my best friend in high school. I was like, oh, yeah, can you just call him? And, yeah, we did that. And one of the episodes I'm most proud of, when we went to cable, one of the fun things for me was, oh, we've been doing it on public. It's just kind of throwing it together for 4 years. Now we get a budget. So we got called. We did a wrestling episode. I was going to bail on it because I was like, man, I don't know if we can pull off this wrestling episode. And one of my writers, this guy, Greg Doris, sat me down. He was like, dude, you have a TV show with a budget and we're set to rent a wrestling ring and throw you in the ring with wrestlers. You don't get this chance again. If it sucks, it sucks. We got to do it. And it actually is one of the things I'm most proud of. But yeah, I mean, I took the gore from Rhino. I had some amazing conversations with X-Pac before and after the show. And even the two after that episode, there's two guys who are in pineapple and coconut mask because of the bit. And it was Pat Buck and Kurt Hawkins under there. So every single person I was in the ring with that night has had WWE experience at this point, which is really crazy.
Yeah. Now, look, Chris, it's a constant argument on the show. 1992, Tito Santana, El Matador. Could you have seen him winning the 1992 Royal Rumble and being the WWF World Champion?
Like,
92.
Like, watching the Royal Rumble.
Like, would he, as a 12-year-old, as a 12-year-old, Chris Gethard, would you have bought?
You're asking, would I sit there and be like, man, it's got a shot?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
See, Tony, go fuck yourself.
No.
You think you know someone.
Sorry, Tito. Yeah, I mean, by 92, he was garbage. He was no fucking world champion.
It was by 93 that they were considering between him and Bret Hart, and we all know how that went, but I think that was a mistake in the grand scheme of things, no? Don't you make that face at me. If they would have picked Tito Santana, maybe Bret Hart doesn't get his head kicked off by Goldberg. Maybe he's still okay. We don't know.
What are you, on drugs?
No, I'm thinking things through rationally. This is what I do.
Was that real? They were thinking about putting it on Tito. Is that true?
That's the story that was going around, because at the time Vince was trying to decide between the South American fans or the Canadian fans as to which one would have brought a little more, you know, eyes to the product.
And money to his pocket.
Well, of course. He probably saw the exchange rate was better between Canada than it was in Mexico. That was that.
And Bruce Pritchard actually confirmed that Tito was a viable option at that point in time. But Tito, to me, was so far gone. Tony thought that babyface Sergeant Slaughter could have won that Royal Rumble when he was number 30.
I said this to Tito when he was on my show back in the day. I always felt like, you know, he was somebody who had the Intercontinental title and was always in that mix. And I said to him, I was like, even as kids, we all knew if you want the good wrestling, you're looking at the IC title guys. Those are the contenders that are the good wrestling. And we all knew that back then. And I think that kind of touched Tito Santana's heart. So I'm glad to say, I never thought as a child I'd be able to say the sentence, I think I touched Tito Santana's heart.
Tugged on the strings. All right, let me ask you this, because I have a memory of, I think it was like playing video games in your basement. We were playing virtual, I think it was your basement, playing virtual pro wrestling, the original, the New Japan for N64.
I did have an N64 down in my basement. I didn't own that game, but my guess is that Jamie Miller brought it over my house.
Yes. Yeah. What is your favorite wrestling video game of all time?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I'll tell you, I do still have, I have looked up the Wikipedia entry for the one, the old school, the original Nintendo one that had Phantom Claws and the Amazon.
Pro wrestling.
Yeah, just straight up pro wrestling. That one, I remember that one quite fondly.
Can't go wrong with that. That was like, no,
I did also, I'll bring him up again because I know he's a friend of all of us, but I lived my sophomore year at college at Rutgers. Jamie Miller and I lived together. And if we're talking wrestling video games, you know, we all kind of lost our minds that year. We all were just a bunch of like depressed 19-year-olds living in a shitty apartment in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And I once came out of my room and my room off of his room. And I walked out and he was not even playing, but he was watching. He had set up his N64, and I forget game would have been out around the year 2000, but he had set up a battle royal that was just 30 Eric Bischoffs, and he was not even playing as one of them. He was just watching 30 Eric Bischoffs fight each other. And then you can ask him, I didn't really see much of him after that.
We're talking to our friend Chris Gethard at Chris Gethard on the Twitter machine. Give him a follow. Not like he needs it. He's got like a fucking 98,000 followers. He does a ton of stuff. He's a stand-up comedian. He's doing stuff in Baltimore at the end of October. He has a podcast, Beautiful Anonymous, where he just takes a phone call and he talks to somebody for like 40 minutes. It's awesome. And
we had a wrestler call too. We had a kid call who was an aspiring pro wrestler. There's an episode of my show. I think it's called Aspiring Pro Wrestler. So if you want to check out my podcast, a good place to start. It's actually really cool. It talks about he's kind of just out of wrestling school and he's still in that phase that still exists where he'll drive 2.5 hours to get to lose in 3 minutes and make $15 and then drive home. Like, still a very real thing is right there. And it was cool.
This is gonna be a loaded question, real quick, and I'll let the guys get to you afterwards. For your creativity, like, where does it, like, where do you want to go? Because you've done so many different things in so many different spectrums. I feel like, is Beautiful Anonymous the thing that you might be the most passionate about, other than maybe like the public access Gethard show?
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm also 40 now. Like, when I started the Gethard show, I was 29. And that show is nuts and insane. And I'm really proud of it, immensely proud of it. And I think a lot of people who maybe fashion themselves as misfits kind of felt what spoke to them. But Beautiful Anonymous right now is kind of my main thing because now I'm 30 and I have, you know, I'm a dad. And I kind of look at some of the stuff we used to do with the old Gethard show and I'm like, wait, that was my idea. I remember being the one to think of that. Like, I brought in a pro Muay Thai friend, a guy I used to train a lot at the Henzo Gracie Academy Jiu Jitsu. I brought in my friend who's the Muay Thai instructor there and had him beat the shit out of me on public access TV. And I'm like proud of that. But I'm also like, there's no world in which that would ever cross my mind today as a good idea. So, you know, I think right now, Anonymous, I think, is just like a little more grounded, a little more at all. And, you know, stand up always still. I mean, the fact, you know, I did all the shows are outdoors right now. I did right outside this hotel room door. I just did a show in a field in Connecticut, and this motel I'm sitting in. You get to go out there, people get to come out, have a good night, make them laugh. They've been having a shitty day, they get to forget about it for an hour. I'm like, that's the best. Now that I'm past the side of my career where I have to prove myself so much and kind of, you know, have a chip on my shoulder, have the ego. Now I'm just like, let me just make people feel good and see how long I can make money doing it.
Now, before you got into the comedy scene, I know you once had a little dabble in the pro wrestling world, and you said, oh, this should be fun. All my friends are in the crowd. They're going to cheer for me when I come out. But that didn't seem to go the way.
I believe two of the three of you there the night in question. And amongst a group of our larger friends, and I believe it, because it went so poorly that I wrote a chapter in my book about this night because it was such a disaster.
Oh yeah.
And you guys, my friends, helped lead the charge in me being relentlessly booed and mocked by the crowd based on my performance at Seton Hall University Stars and Stripes Championship Wrestling.
Ah, SSCW.
I was asked to be, since you got, if you want the bullet points of the story, our friend had, this was in the era when it was like the Rock and Stone Cold. So there was like, you couldn't find a weekend night where there wasn't some like low level card happening in a middle school gym. It was just, if you wanted to go see local wrestling, it was just everybody was making money. And our friend somehow wound up being the booker of one of these things. And he knew I was doing comedy stuff at Rutgers. I was 21 at the time. We were young, right? And he called and he was like, I mean, I had been in the school plays with his little sister. He was like, dude, you're funny. Come do this thing. So I was a manager for a man named Vicious Vin. And I believe it was his first, maybe second match.
The legend.
And my character I came up with was White Magic, which was basically the Godfather, except I was 20 years old and white with glasses. And people, and I will say, and you guys who were there, tell me if my memories are correct. Came out, people saw that I was in like a smoking jacket and a top hat. I look like I do. They instantly hated me, but in the way you want. And I was talking shit and it was really fun. I remember distinctly a guy who was there with two young girls yelled something at me. I was like, don't make me hit you in front of your daughters, man. And it was like so fun. I told another guy I would slap the last of his hairs off his bald head, like strutting around doing pimp stuff. And here's what happened though, is he was going up against this guy, Flash Wheeler, who was a local guy who was around a lot. And Flash Wheeler, so our buddy, our friend, tells me, so this match, Vin's really green, but we want him to win, so we need to cheat. So you're going to hit Flash Wheeler with your cane. And I was immediately like, I don't know that that's a good idea, man. You got to do it. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. So then I see him walk over, and he tells Flash Wheeler the ending. And Flash Wheeler walks over to me, and he just looks right at me. He's like, I don't know who you are, man, and I don't know what you're doing here. I was like, oh fuck, here we go. He's like, this is my job. This is like my whole life. Like, if you fuck up and you hurt me and you cost me money, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you. I was like, okay, whoa. So he had given me like a little handle when it was time for me to jump up on the apron and hit him. And I just remember like gritting my teeth, and I jumped up. And I had this cane, and it just went through my mind, him being like, if you do this wrong and I get hurt, I'm going to destroy you. And I just remember hitting him like, it wouldn't, like, if we were playing T-ball, it wouldn't have even gotten the ball past home plate. It was the most, and he kind of just looked at me and like visibly rolled eyes and then went down and sit, because he's a pro. And it went from like the room being like, oh, this is funny that this kid's trying to do this, and he's saying some mean things to people just like spewing just pure act of disrespect at me. And then some teenagers reached over the railing and stole my top hat. And I'll never forget yelling, "Hey, I need that." And everyone in the room just like tormenting me. Perhaps my friend most, friends most of all. And then the best part, I don't know if you remember this, but since we cheated, guys who were supposed to like flash his boys came out, and they were all like, you know, brawling in the aisle. And one of them grabbed me and Irish whipped me towards the back, definitely harder than it was a receipt, as they say, for me screwing the whole thing up. But he threw me face first into this wall. But if you guys remember the dressing room walls, it wasn't a dressing room. They just set up like they weren't secured to the floor. It was just barriers. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but I ran face first into this thing and it fell over. So all of a sudden the whole crowd just King Kong Bundy and Skull Von Crush and like Devin Storm back there in his underwears. And everybody got mad at me for that. So then later in that show, the fire alarm went off and I just actually ran to my car and got out of there.
That was Matt, by the way.
I did not pull the fucking fire alarm. I've heard that rumor. I swear to God, I had nothing to do with that.
This is exactly what happened. King Kong Bundy was having a match against, what was it, Cloudy? The guy that was like the Body Donna's valet when Sonny left. And Matt asked King Kong Bundy if he wanted to play a game of hide and go fuck yourself. And to which Mr. Bundy had Matt escorted from the building. And wouldn't you know it, 2 minutes later, the fire alarm went off.
I didn't pull the fire alarm. I swear to God, I've done a lot of shit in my life. I never pulled the fire alarm.
Now, I also heard a rumor that Bundy got slammed in that match, and he's so massive that it shook the foundation of the building and set off the fire alarm. That was another rumor I heard.
That makes more sense.
Of course. Either that or a teenage Matt Bowman, who's was a noted psychopath at that age, ruined a good night for the rest of us.
All right, first of all, it was not a good night. All right, you just told a fucking horrific story where Flash Wheeler said he was going to beat the ever-living shit out of you, and then they threw you into a wall that fell down, and we saw a bunch of wrestlers in their underoos.
And didn't Loki get hurt that night, too? Didn't we see Loki get hurt? It was a bad night all around.
Well, I just remember at one point during the match, Flash got so annoyed with Vicious Vin that he pulled his shirt up like a hockey jersey style and just started firing rounds into his midsection, into his jaw. And I saw Vin after the show and he's like, "I'm done, T. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm done." And of
I've told this story a lot, and it's really actually nice to hear from people who are also there. I remember it being, because you know, I exaggerate and I'm a comedian, and sometimes I'm like, was it as bad as I remembered it? And hearing say that, yeah, no, he pulled it over his head and beat him up because it was going so poorly. I'm like, oh, so that was your memory, that it was humiliating and as horrific as I remember it too?
Oh yeah, but that was before it got to your point. So your point, your spot was the icing on the proverbial cake, because the match was already going downhill at that point. I'm not sure if you remember that.
It was not good.
Yeah, you guys were a little busy jaw jacking at that. I mean, you were messing with the fans and whatnot, but yeah. Inside the ring, it was not good. And Vin was definitely green at that point. I remember a couple of months earlier, I want to say, we had a show at St. Mary's in Nutley for SSCW, and we were all greener than goose shit. It was like, it was me, it was the professor, Eddie, Vin, the young dragon who I was training with. It was like literally my second match. So not only was I in the basket brawl, whatever it was called, but then I had a match against the young dragon, and neither one of us knew anything. So yeah, the SSCW shows at that point were legendary for how poorly they were. Ugh, rough stuff.
It was really my favorite part, though, was that my brother was there, because as I said, he got me into wrestling. He drove up from Philly because he was like, dude, this is the dream. And when that fire alarm went off, so I don't know if I told you this, Skull Von Crush cornered me in the dressing room, because when I knocked over that barrier, it came down near Bundy. And Skull Von Crush like cornered me, I like sat me down in the corner and then loomed over me and was like, "You almost hurt Bundy." And I was like, "Dude, I got thrown face first into a wall. I don't know what to tell you." And he's like, "Don't talk back to me. You disrespected Bundy. You shouldn't be here." I'm like, "I know I shouldn't be here, man." And it's like, I knew that before I came. It's only more obvious now, man. Like, and the fire alarm goes off and he looks in the other direction. I ran out the back door. I grabbed my shit. I ran out the back door. And no joke, I'm running to my car and I see another door across the parking lot open. And my brother comes sprinting out that door. Like, he just instinctively knew we got to get the fuck out of here. He knew I would be out. And he had my top hat. And I was like, dude, how'd you get it back? And he was like, those kids who took it were like 12. I just told him, give it back to me, man. But I never forgot my brother just instinctively knowing, like, this is over a bench ship. This fire escape is a fire alarm is the excuse. Let's go. And he knew I would be out there. It was really bad. And some friends of mine from college came too. And it was just truly pathetic, truly hard to look them in the eye the next day.
Well, so can we rule out the fact that maybe your brother pulled the fire alarm?
I don't think he's not that type. And he loves a good fiasco. And if anybody who likes seeing me humiliate myself, it's him. So he was probably upset that it ended.
Fair enough.
Well, I'm glad we could all laugh about it now.
Yeah. Of course. During the course of this too, I remember it was already really horrible. And I feel like I feel like my thing was the thing that just made it like kind of go up in flames. But I also feel like there was a video camera present that one of the wrestlers fell onto and it got completely destroyed. And our good friend Pat Cobb made some snarky comment that the whole crowd let where I think he literally was like, oh, it was already that terrible. And now you broke something expensive too. And the whole crowd just started dying. And I was like, oh, this is not good.
Was that the show where they had the five-way where Lupus did the flip off the top and landed on his head? Or am I confusing that with another SSCW show?
Somebody got hurt. I thought it was low-key, but that could be correct. I know somebody got hurt in an aerial spot for sure.
Yeah, they all kind of meld together just because I was involved with a few of them. But then most of the time we just wound up going to them. He had another one at Don Bosco in Patterson, and he had bought a ring from somebody, of course, sight unseen because he never left his house.
And I forgot that. I had to talk on the phone with that guy before they even the spot.
And the ring showed up, Chris, The ring had no padding. It was literally the planks and the canvas. A couple of us actually went into one of the back rooms this was in the high school gym. We found wrestling mats and we cut the wrestling mats up and used those for the padding on the ring. And for those of you who don't know, we may have told the story before, but it's always great to tell it again. When you have a ring with posts and there's no spring on the bottom, you crisscross wires underneath the post, tension wires. So when you pull them tight, when people hit the ropes, the posts stay in place. They don't move much because there's a resistance underneath the ring keeping them together. Well, of course, the ring didn't have those. And when we were hitting the ropes to test it out to see how it felt, one of the posts collapsed. So pretty much Chris Candido, Crowbar, and I want to say Sabu at some point, were all out there with like 50 bungee cords, like things that you would tie luggage to the roof of your car with, trying to put this post back together to keep the ring from falling completely apart.
And that was in the middle of the show when they went out there.
No, that was the beginning. It was the beginning of the show.
Well, beginning. It was when the show was going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that,
so the crowd was in the seats watching Sabu try to tie a ring together.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Candido and Devin Storm, who was his opponent that night. Everybody was out there trying to get this ring to keep from falling.
And I remember Candido saying, "Listen, we told you not to hit the ropes. We told you not to hit the ropes."
Yeah,
he was furious.
And I said to Matt, I said, "You know what? This is a bad idea. We should leave." And he goes, "No. We're staying here." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Because somebody's really going to get hurt and I want to be here to see it." So we wound up staying. And the show is as good as it can be without a ring.
I thought it was classic. The picture I took with Sonny and Sherry where it looks like I'm coming in my pants is amazing.
And Charles Cobb, his bell was that little hotel desk ring bell. That was like, he was like the bell ringer at the show. And he had the ring, a little hotel bell.
Oh, God.
Milo Yambag.
Ah, amazing.
That was his name. Well, Chris, I know you're a busy man. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us, especially on the road. I know the grind is real, and we...
Oh, please. It's a joy to catch up, always. I'm sorry it took me so long. Congrats on 500 episodes. That's really, really incredible, so congratulations.
And I want to thank you, Chris. Full disclosure, you were a senior when I was a freshman at Western.
Yes, Cheese. Your nickname was Cheese back then.
That's right, man. And I just want to tell you in front of the world, everyone that watched, like, dude, you were a big influence on me. I looked up to you when I was a freshman. I really did. It's going to sound hard to believe now, but I really did. And it's awesome to have you on the show. The worlds have crossed full circle now. And it really means a lot that you finally are here.
I'm sorry it took so long. And I hope we, now that I'm back in Jersey, I feel like we're probably going to wind up doing some shows together soon. So I can't wait to see you in person and catch up.
That'd be awesome. And shoot, legit, Kevin's got two beautiful nieces. They both call him Uncle Cheese. So
nice.
The nickname is the test of time.
I love that.
Be sure to follow Chris at Chris Gethard. He's got a website, chrisgeth.com. So check that out. Beautiful Anonymous, the podcast. He's doing stand-up comedy. He's got a bunch of shows coming up. So all that's listed at chrisgeth.com. Chris, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Your beautiful hotel room. Wrestling's the best thing ever. Great Muta. I wish more American fans really paid attention to the Great Muta. I'm sure your listeners, though, are very up on the greatness of the Great Muta. If you haven't watched the greatest first intro to WCW, NWA back then, where Gary Hart says that he's in representation of Japan's economic superiority over America, it's my favorite thing. So everybody get out there and click play on that one.
Chris, when things get back to normal and we go back to studio, you're coming with us and you're going to do a full show with us. And
say the word.
We're going to have a good time.
I love it. Let's do it.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Chris, be well, brother. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night. Be safe.
Okay. I've got two people in queue and Louie's having a really hard time calling in. But right now,
bring him in.
I want to welcome Mr. Thunderheart, Jay George. What's going on, brother?
Yo,
what's going on, guys?
What is up? What do you guys? What's going on over there, buddy?
I got the Shining Wizard shirt. I just did some manscaping. Just popped a couple Blue Chew. I just enjoyed some quesadilla poppers from Carl's Jr., which their new quesadilla poppers that are out now at your local Carl's Jr. and celebrating the 5 years?
500 episodes.
Yes, 5 years. Absolutely.
That equates to 5 years. What did we celebrate last year in Hackensack? What was that about?
That was eight years. We're going back in time.
5 years, man. This is phenomenal stuff, guys. Seriously, that's great.
I got one more person to add to the call at the moment.
Who is it? Is it Brian Pillman?
No.
it's Brian Myers.
It's actually friend of the show, the host of Front Row Material with Mikey. Mr. Mike Freeland. What's going on, Mike?
Oh, shit, man. Is anybody giving away some free stuff? I tell you what, I'm all about that tonight.
Matt gave it all away. Mike, introduce yourself. Jay George is joining us, the Thunderheart. Jay George, this is Mike Freeland, host of Pro Material.
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm just here.
I'm good. I'm having a good time. Glad to be a part of it. I work on the podcast Front Row Material with Mikey Whipwreck and Jerry Lynn. And it's a shit show. And
that's like my marriage, bro. That's just like my marriage. Seriously, dude. Me and my wife made a pact that we would stop smoking and we would only smoke after sex. And I haven't smoked in months. And she's up to two packs a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, the Thunderheart doesn't get along with the old lady too much.
No.
Wow.
I will say when we would have sex, it was like magic. Every time I would get in the bed, she would disappear.
Oh, my God. Really? That is tremendous. Well, congratulations, dude. You guys. 500, man. That's
5 years is amazing for any podcast.
It is.
Yeah.
Surprised we didn't get canceled after five episodes.
How many episodes?
Great job.
Yeah.
What are we at right now? I guess 150?
Just over 2 years, no?
Yes, it'll be 2 years this Halloween. So
now, Mike, let me ask you guys record at like the fucking ass crack of dawn? Like, what's going on over there? Mikey's making fucking juices. Jerry Lynn's fucking dusting off the fucking, I don't know, whatever tomb he crawled out of. What are you guys doing?
Here's the deal. It doesn't matter what time I try to record with these two fossils, because either they all have issues. I mean, they both have hover rounds, and their sleeping schedules are absolutely horrible. But, sometimes we record pretty late at night. just because Jerry's AEW schedule and things he's got going on and what Mikey's got going on. And yeah, it lasts into the wee hours. So.
Great. Well, it's been great. Great doing the podcast with the other three of you. Jesus Christ. What's with the fucking silence?
What's going on tonight, fellas?
Come on, Jay George, hit me with a dad joke with that dead silence. Something,
what's
please.
What's going on here? Listen, this is your podcast. You guys have been doing this for 5 years, not me.
No, so, not 5 years, George.
George, get it straight. Come on, man.
A 500. Listen, Mikey, have you tried the new quesadilla poppers from Carl's Jr.?
Where the fuck is there a Carl's Jr. near us?
Carl's Jr.
Oh, God, they're out now, but I think it's going to be a limited time, so definitely jump on them.
Mike's more into the curly fries at Arby's, isn't that right?
You're damn right. I like the damn curly fries. I couldn't find a Hardee's or a Carl Jr.'s out where I live. Most of the places around here got closed.
What happened? Whatever happened to good old Roy Rogers, right?
They're back around us.
Are they really? Where? Give me a route number. Give me a route number. What exit? What exit is it?
Come on, Hitman. Come on, Hitman. Can't put me on a spot like that.
There's one all the way up 23 here in Jersey, and that's about it. The one down in Central Jersey is closed. The one on 1 and 9 is closed.
Is there still one on an exit on the parkway or the turnpike?
No, the turnpike, definitely. There's definitely one. And it's got the little wrapper where it tells you where to put the burger just in case the speds that work there don't know where to put the fucking hamburger. Place burger here. When we used to go to ECW shows, we stopped there. And the friend I would go with would take the wrapper and just take everything from the salad bar and make a salad because he was a cheap fuck.
Wow.
Sounds bad. You got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean?
I would love the Fixins bar. I get them little cups. I'd feel like four cups with pickles. So those pickles were good as hell. Love that stuff. What? What's wrong with the pickles?
I don't know what you do with the pickles. That's the problem.
I eat them. I'm not a piggy bank.
So let me ask you this. Are you guys all generally in the same proximity?
Jersey represent, more or less. A couple of them split up a little bit in New York, right? Am I getting this right or wrong? I know these guys.
We're all here. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get together since, I don't know, March or whatever. So
none of us are in New York, J. George. We're all within like half an hour of each other in New Jersey.
Right, that's what I said.
You are all that RCA money has gone to your head. I just want to put that out there.
I just meant to say we're all tri-state boys. We could be in New York. We could be in New Jersey at like that in the drop of a dime.
That's right. We could be at a Carl's Jr. getting quesadilla poppers in a heartbeat.
That's absolutely. And I'm going to try to get as many as I can, especially since they have a 10-piece. They do. Listen to this. It's a 10-piece. It's $3.99, and they're limited time, so I'm going to jump on them.
Definitely. We'd like to introduce J. George as the official fourth member of the Shining Wizards.
Oh, get out of here. I've only been on the show a handful of times.
I don't see no quesadilla poppers on the website.
Mike, my wife cheats on me hardcore, dude. Oh my gosh. Dude. It's bad.
How do you respond to that? I mean...
I think just let it take its course.
Right, just let it fly, man. Let it fly.
Is J. George, are you upset that we double booked or what?
Every time. No, that's on me. I was supposed to call in at 8:50. I guess you guys, for whatever reason, thought I'd be on for 5 minutes.
I was going to say, I think I've gone over my allotted time here. Am I taking someone's spot?
No, we're waiting for Low Life Louie to call in, but he's technically unsavvy, so I don't know if he's going to get in tonight, which is a shame because we love Louie.
No, there's not a fucking dildo button for him to press, so he doesn't know how to get on the air.
Low Life Louie killed a man with a plastic bag one time.
Of course he did. That's what he does.
Yeah. Hold on, J. George. You're all about these quesadillas. I see this 9-piece chicken stars on the menu.
You looked up the menu.
I did because I don't see no quesadilla popper, so I think you're full of shit.
We're trying to call you.
They're doing a test run. They don't put it on the menu for everyone. But I will say, if there's a Hardee's Jr., check out the new quesadilla poppers.
It's a limited edition.
Let me ask Mike and J. George, if you could have one like chain restaurant in your house, which one would it be?
Inside the house?
Whoa, in the house?
Yeah, like you could just fuck. There's like, you know, you just go and you'd be like, oh, I want a fucking Whopper or whatever your choice is.
Ooh.
In your house, good friends, better enemies. What was the main event?
It was Shawn Michaels Diesel. Against Diesel.
There we go.
Was that Diesel ripped off fucking Mad Dog Vachon's leg and he fucking used it as a weapon.
Was that their best match together, you think?
Yes. That just dropped. Yep. Yep.
Someone just,
there we
someone
go.
Someone just had a stroke. Something just happened.
Your wife emergency. Came into the room.
What in the hell is that?
Do you not have any pants on?
Seriously, I don't think we should joke about this. I wonder if he's okay.
All right. Sorry about that, guys. A little.
How does that even happen? He's in a room by himself.
I thought he was playing the piano. The way his setup was like, it looked like you were sitting at a piano. I was ready for you to play some songs, but now
it was really... it was Retribution, guys. Sorry.
Retribution.
Fucking
Fiddlesticks. And
what's the name of? Isn't there a guy in that group called Slapjack?
Slapnuts.
Ah, oh, jeez. Oh.
Jeff Jarrett joined Retribution. He's still off that payday from when he had to wrestle China in the Good Housekeeping match.
Exactly. It all comes together. Long-term storytelling.
Now, Mike, I got to ask you a question real quick.
Yes.
You are not an advocate of cutting your hamburger in half, correct?
Well, I'm kind of a, yeah, I'm more of a traditionalist, yeah.
Okay. And you like shredded lettuce on top? Did I have that right?
Mike, let me cut you off. I just want to let you know that we ask the hard-hitting questions here on the Shining Wizards podcast. Only the real legit intel we need to know about your life and what you do professionally. So go ahead with the answer to the cheeseburger conversation.
So the question is, you know what? I'm not big on the condiments. I'm not big on the whole extra stuff. I just like the meat, just like the cheese, and give me the bread. But no, I don't cut it in half.
Like my ex-wife.
How many fucking wives do you have?
Just give me the bread. That's what she would say.
That's right. Just give it to me.
What is?
I meant my soon-to-be ex-wife.
What is the bread? What is the bread that a man gives a woman?
The money. The money. That's what she wants.
Oh, that's it.
The bread.
Dude, get with the program. What's wrong?
Yeah, come on. The cheese, the bread. It's all the same to her.
Speaking of the cheese and the bread, I think Louie's on the line. Louie, you there, buddy?
I am here.
Ah, there he is.
Louie!
What's up, guys?
Louis, it's nice to know you got your dildo phone from Playboy working.
Finally,
for those who aren't watching,
computer stupid.
Can you confirm or deny that you're wearing a condom right now?
I can deny that because I don't use condoms, brother.
Yes.
For those who are not watching us on the hot mic, this has now become like a Brady Bunch fucking screen on Zoom where we're all looking at who the fuck is talking where. Low life Louie. Day one ish, my man. How the fuck are you?
I'm alive and well. As you know, I've come back out of retirement for like the 22nd time and doing big things. Got a few big things lined up and I'm very happy about it.
Attaboy.
All right, Louie, you're on the line with us, of course, and then Jay George, he's unpredictable, and Mike Freeland from the Front Row Material podcast. He hosts it with Mikey Whipwreck and Jerry Lynn. So we are just going crazy here on 500. Louie, do you cut your hamburger in half, and what kind of lettuce do you like on it?
I like my burger with everything, lettuce, tomatoes, pickle, onion, whatever else you could put on it, up bacon, whatever. I don't cut it in half. I just double-handed and fucking destroy it.
Yeah, dude, that's just like what my wife did to my life. He gets it, bro. Louie, it's bad, bro. Bro, every time I would come home, the parrot would yell, "Quick, get out the window!"
Oh my god, that's pretty bad. I've been married it's gonna be 14 years now, so I know the deal. Sometimes,
yeah.
Congratulations, I feel your pain.
Hey, Louie, where are you at right now? By the way.
I am on my couch after a long 10-hour workday. I am home. I made some dinner for my kids because my wife is working late, and I'm just chilling watching some Raw.
Good for you, buddy.
What flavor Four Loko?
Actually, I've cut down on the Four Lokos, brother. I only drink on weekends now.
Bullshit. What the fuck? No. That's like Kevin saying he drinks on the weekend. I'm out.
Bullshit. Louie, I see you post on Facebook every freaking day. There's either a Four Loko or a Steel Reserve Fruit Punch or some bullshit.
Yeah, if you look at it, it's either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, brother. No, I don't touch the liquor anymore Monday through Thursday. Monday through Friday afternoon, I don't touch anything except water.
Well, then I got a problem with Mark Zuckerberg then, because that shit's showing up on my timeline on a Tuesday.
That's not my fault then.
Yo, Louis, you just got announced for GCW show, huh?
Yes. I'm actually doing two back-to-back tournaments on October 30th. And on October 30th, I am part of the last extravaganza that's H2O Hardcore Hustle Organization's title tournament to crown the first ever Danny Havoc Memorial Hardcore Champion. And it's a two-night event, August 30th and 31st. And then the next Saturday, GCW NGI 5 at the Showboat Sandlot in Atlantic City. And for anybody who's a deathmatch history buff, I was involved in the first match ever at the first NGI. So there, it all comes full circle.
It's a legend.
Goddamn right.
Hell yeah. That's how you do it, bro. But please, bro, this is from me, bro. Please just be careful, man. Please.
Listen, there's only, you know, we're all well trained, we're all well versed in this deathmatch style.
But Louis, it happens, you know. I've looked into your eyes before you've gone out there, and I've seen the why is this funny? I've seen the passion that you have to go out there and entertain the fans and give them all. You give them your all. You give them everything you have, and I know how far you're willing to go for them. That's why, as a friend, I worry.
And I appreciate that, because, you know, I've come close to death twice, you know, and but still, I still can't stay away from it, no matter what.
Absolutely, bro. I was just telling him about that time that you killed someone with the plastic bag. Do you remember this?
Yes.
What was his name?
That was Schlack.
No. At UWF, at Urban Wrestling Federation.
Oh, that was Murder One.
Murder One. Are you guys aware of Urban Wrestling Federation?
Yeah, of course. But if you murder someone named Murder, does that really murder then? That seems like
Tony, you know what it is? It's a double homicide.
Oh, man, I'm trying to be slick now. I'm feeling that. Wow.
Nah, man, Louis ain't no one to mess with, bro.
Mike, what's the drink that Whipwreck was in on? The party balls, the Bucky balls? What was that?
Oh, shit. Yes, it's the, God, it's the, oh, my God.
Louis, you might know what they are. They kind of look like Christmas ornaments. They're like party balls. They're party balls? Is that what they are?
Yeah, it's like the little brother of the keg.
No, not something with beer. Like, I'm talking like a little thing. It looks like an ornament almost.
It's a mixed drink. It's called something balls. Let's see. God, what was that thing called?
They usually have them on the counter at the liquor stores, right?
I think so. You know what? Because last time I went to the liquor store, I was looking for them, and I don't think they had them in, but whatever.
The ones by me, I always see them up on the counter.
Mahoney's balls.
Mahoney's balls.
Mahoney's balls. No, oh, shoot. Buzz balls.
Buzz balls. That was it.
Buzz balls. That's the stuff he drinks a lot.
Hey, Jay George, if you want yourself some buzz balls, you head on over to manscaped.com. You put in the code Wizards. You get 20% off your lawnmower 3.0 with free shipping, by the way.
You guys got the Manscaped deal? That's amazing.
Hell yeah, bro. 500 episodes. How can we not?
That's right. 5 years of podcasting, you should have it.
Hey, man, let's shoot. As a user of a Manscaped, I think it's a great product. My wife got me one for Christmas.
Well, there you go.
Did you use the discount code?
I don't know what she did, but it's amazing. And I know that I get, like, the blades sent to me every so often. And, like, little incentives, little trial size things. So they're pretty cool.
All right. So, Louis, this is what you do. You use this one in your next match. And then you tell your wife to order you a new one and use code Wizards at checkout.
Yo, holy shit. That's good. That's a good deal. Louis, now you're a bald gentleman. Are you a switch hitter with the Manscaped? Do you trim a little bit at the bottom and then go and trim a little bit on top?
I use the Manscaped at the bottom, and I'm going to give you a little fucking tip that I haven't told too many people. I actually shave my head with a lady's razor.
Oh, that's smart. Right. Yeah.
That's all right.
Purple hey. Or pink?
Pink, actually.
There you go. That's the quadruple blade action.
I know we're all over the place here. I got a lot of questions about these buzz balls here. What flavor, Mike, what flavor is this fucking Mike? I gave Mikey the login info if he wanted to call in on Zoom because he put up some post where he was like, nobody asked me to be a part of this fucking show, so these two guys will have to do. So I was like, come on, Whipwreck, join the show. And he never responded. Is he drinking fucking... Is he drinking...
Mike, get in on that, bro. Get
is he
in.
Drinking chocolate teas? What kind of fucking dumb drinks is this fucking
I'm
guy
text
drinking?
Him right now. I'm going to text him right now and see if he can get himself up.
We already had heat with Mikey once on the show for, what was it? We didn't call him on time or we got the
No, he couldn't call in because he blocked his number.
All these buzz balls are like very like foo-foo cocktails. I got to know what he's drinking.
Wait, God, which one does he really like? The Tropic Chiller, I think he's a big fan of.
So you know, a Tropic Chiller is a wine-based drink. Don't let him bust your balls about your Halo ice cream when he's drinking fucking buzz balls.
Yeah.
He's drinking wine coolers.
He is. Bartles and fucking Janes. That's what he's doing.
Let me ask you, Mike, I want to ask you like an actual serious question here. I know we're having a great time.
Yes.
Let me get serious real quick. Have you noticed that Mikey and Jerry have opened up more the longer the podcast is going on? Have you seen themselves open up more in terms of what they want to talk about, in terms of their attitudes and their jovialness, I guess, lack of a better word?
No, that's actually a great question. Yeah, I have. It was interesting because in the beginning of the show, when we first started doing it, it was very guarded, I think, in a lot of ways. And I respect that, too, because they have a lot of experiences and stories and they want to share them. But I think as time went on, they started opening up more about their personal life. And that kind of led into more things that did happen behind the scenes and on the road and stuff like that. So I think what you get with both of those guys is about as real as it gets. I mean, we are, we're very uncut. There's very little editing that's done in the show, but Jerry opens up big time. And, you know, Jerry was talking about maybe doing a watch along with AEW. And he talks to me a lot about how much he loves working with the younger talent, and he is about as genuine as it gets. So he's an awesome dude. And Mikey's the same way. So
I don't know if I just killed the momentum of the buzzkill with that serious question, guys.
No, it was good.
I'm
it was
so
good.
Sorry.
No, it was very good.
So let me ask you this. Has Jerry's involvement with AEW hindered, for those who don't listen to the show, hindered anything that he could talk about?
No, not really. Because a lot of times what we end up talking about is just stories that they share. And things that are going on in their lives and things that we've got going on amongst the three of us. But he'll definitely talk about, because we'll do listener questions and people will say,
right,
well, who do you think is, you know, the person who's looking the best right now, or who do you think is going to be coming up and a breakout star and stuff like that. We were actually going to do a watch along in the Street Fight match that happened 2 weeks ago, but unfortunately timing just didn't let it. He was a big part of that as well. I don't know. I think it was Brian Alvarez had mentioned that he and Tony Khan and Jerry will not take any credit whatsoever. He says, you know, the four guys did a great job, but Jerry's very good when it comes to picking his brain when we're on the phone together.
And we'll circle back to everyone that's on the line with us. Of course, Low Life Louie, Jay George, Mike Freeland from Front Row Material with Jerry Lynn and Mikey Whipwreck. Jerry Lynn was taken aback when we brought up the term Jerry Lynn Nice. Like,
yes.
if you're like really nice in the business, like they compare you to Jerry Lynn.
Yes.
And he didn't hear that until I think we brought it up. Tony, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's
maybe. I don't know. We've talked to Jerry a few times. So
and so when you mentioned Jerry Lynn, is he like the nicest guy in wrestling?
He doesn't have anything bad to say about anybody, even off, you know, when we're not recording. He'll just say, hey, you know what? I work with this person. We didn't get a chance to work again. Things might not have worked out, but I really like him. Not a single bad thing to say. And that's not blowing smoke. That's just genuinely who he is. And Mikey's the same way. I mean, Mikey will basically say, you know what, just didn't work out. But Jerry and his niceness, I think, is become a parody amongst the guys as well, because they'll DM me and they'll kind of give me some grief about Jerry. He's just, what you see is what you get. But yeah, that's Jerry for you. So
awesome.
Kind of like your wife there, Jay George, right? What do you see? What you get?
Good Don't get me started on my wife. You know, I one time, I kid you not, I went shopping for a used car, and I found her underwear in the back seat.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Do you think we'll get to see the heavy hitters in a reunion tag before it's all said and done?
I'd love to team up with Steve Mack one more time and do one more match with him, especially now. Like, I've shed 37 pounds in the last month and a half. I've been doing some, like, traditional wrestling matches as well, so I don't see why not. I'd love to.
Louis, you didn't tell anyone you had AIDS.
Whoa. I gotta keep that on the down low, man. That'll kill the bookings.
Well, in fairness, you didn't know where. Oh,
that's even worse than what Matt said. I'm not gonna tell the promoters that I have AIDS. I'm just gonna work anyway.
Hey, listen, if Abby pulled it off, we're happy, you know.
Oh my God!
Hey, that's good news though, because then that means we could get a Low Life Louis versus Abdullah the Butcher.
We've already gotten it three times, my brother.
Oh, that's right, it did happen. What was that like working with him?
One of the greatest moments of my life. You know, the head thing is a joke. Abby is. I worked with him three times. I shed blood with the man.
Wait. Was that before or after the, like, it was that? I don't think he was, right?
It was before and during. The last time I wrestled him was mid-2006, which was right around the time he had that match with that Hannibal kid in Canada. So, you know, and me and him bled, and we, you know, obviously you're sharing blood. Yeah, you know, he cut me with a bottle. I bled with him, and I came up clean, and, you know, here I am sitting here, 14 years after that match, and, you know, my daughter was born after that, and my wife would have had hepatitis. My daughter could have been born with it, but perfectly clean. Bill of health every time, you know?
Yeah, that's...
He just that's did... Wild. He put the Hep C thing out because his restaurant bombed, and he was embarrassed about that.
But then how did that explain Hannibal? Because he failed the test for it when he tried out for WWE. Yeah.
Listen, you. There's a lot of ways you can get hepatitis, not just bleeding in the ring. So
true. But so he was. You said he was like real cool to work with, easy to work with, and stuff.
Oh, Abby was great to me. The last time I ended up working with him, he was supposed to work Sandman. Sandman didn't make the show, and Abby actually requested to wrestle me, which was amazing to me because I had worked with him before, and he actually remembered me. And requested to Frank Goodman, who was the promoter at the time, and said, hey, man, I want to wrestle him. I've wrestled him before. I'm happy with him. I want to work with him. So that's how I got to work with him the last time.
I haven't seen or heard the name Frank Goodman in a long time. And I don't really know too much about his career. Like, I know who he is. I know the promotion, whatnot. The thing that made me so jealous when I started, like, when I became his friend on Facebook, he was at Disney World every day with his family.
He lives at Disney World.
It's crazy. He's there like legit every day.
No, he legit, like, I think his house is like in the parking lot of Disney. It's like he has one of those places where, yeah, it's wild. Have you guys ever been to his shows? Aside from Louie, you've been a part of a lot of them, right?
I was a part of every Frank Goodman show from the end of 2002 to 2006 when he went to Florida.
What was the longest Frank Goodman show that you were?
Oh, man, it was either the last Elks Lodge show or the one right before it, where Raven actually walked up into the locker room and said, hey, Goodman, you're going to have to pay me twice because I'm going on after midnight.
Damn, dude, that's crazy.
Wow.
And the show didn't end until almost 1 in the morning. Like 12:55 was the final bell.
Because, dude, Frank will just load up, like, these shows, like, with, like, all these names. There'd be, like, 13, 14 matches. There'd be, right? There's always a battle royal.
Yep, always a battle royal with, like, ticket-selling folks. It was, yeah, that's the way it was. And he ran for a long time using that same formula in New York.
Yeah, and it's crazy because the last show was after, like, the Athletic Commission had been, like, established. So I wondered how he got, like, he had, like, a 13-match card. And this is now, at this point in New York, they're super strict. They'll shut you down for anything.
Oh, boy, do I know it. The last show that I did in New York was the 5150 GCW, Tribute to Homicide. I was actually in the main event against Nick Gage, and what happened was I was cut badly during the match, so much so that we didn't know it until I got to the hospital. My temporal artery had been cut. But obviously, as I was bleeding to death, I was trying to just keep the match going. But the commissioner jumped out of the blue, stopped the match, stopped the show, threw a hissy fit. The New York State Athletic Commission is trash.
Yeah, they've been pretty rough. But I mean, if you were bleeding out like that, bro, maybe it was, you know.
Yeah, that's probably for the best, right?
You did say femoral artery, didn't you? I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
Temporal artery. It's the one that's that runs right down the side of your head, and on the left side it got clipped.
Well, here's the deal. The word artery is still involved, so.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of blood, but I mean, I wanted to continue. I wasn't allowed to. It happens.
And bro, like, I know from Noni, you're like a big Family Guy, and I know like the last, not like the television, you're not a fan of the Family Guy. You're a big family person. You have a loving family. And last time I saw you were with them, were they at that show? And like, how do you deal with that stuff? Because wife gets worried and everything, right?
My wife just actually walked in from work, and if she was here, she'd tell you. She was hysterical because she was actually the one that was hysterical. I was actually calm in the back, a little upset that had happened. But as I'm getting bandaged up, I was just like, the way I treated it, and I'm sure there's backstage footage of it. For me, it looked like I had a paper cut on my head. That's how I was treating it. She was treating it like what it was, which was a real serious injury. Course, yeah. I was treating it more like, oh, I'm cut. That's it, you know?
And what about Louis Jr.? How do you handle it? Because he's like a teenager now, right?
Yeah, he's 15 years old, and he's actually, you know, in training now at the H2O Wrestling Academy. And he was a little nervous, but I guess he takes it in stride because, you know, since he's been 9, 10 years old, he's seen me do this. His first ever live indie show, I wrestled New Jack in a cage. So, you know, he's desensitized at this point.
Jesus.
Yeah, I came across that wonderful video. What is it called? A gusher plate?
The gusset. The gusset
part. Yeah, I came across the video of that stuck in your head and all the people trying to pull it out. So that was a really fun watch. Yeah.
You've seen those, right, Mike? You know what that thing is?
I have not seen that yet. So
it's like flat metal on one side and like 400 spikes on the other. It's about like, what, 2 by 2 inches, Louis?
Yep, about 2 by 2 inches. Yeah, really heavy, too.
They use it to reinforce like metal plates and stuff.
Yeah. There's been videos over the years of a few guys getting them stuck in their heads, and of course Louis was probably the most recent one if I had to wager a guess.
Louis, you don't have to say what it is, but did you get a decent payoff for that?
Did I get a what?
A decent payoff for that?
Not really. I don't really, at this point in my career, of course I still get paid, but I do it more for two reasons. One, well, three, obviously. One, to, you know, to entertain the fans. Two, to give back to all these students that are part of the H2O Wrestling Academy, which is my home fed right now. And finally, you know, as you give back, eventually my son will be in these locker rooms as he learns how to, you know, apply the trade. And, you know, all these guys that you teach them with respect, you pass on some knowledge, they'll do that for him as well. And that's like the only selfish reason I'm still on. Like, that's the only selfish thing that I have. But other than that, I do this because I love it and because I want to keep giving back, you know, just the knowledge, you know, that was shared with me through the years. You know, it would be wrong of me to just walk away and not share it when I'm still physically able to. I always said that once I can't move, that's when it's time for me to go. But I'm still pretty good. So,
yeah. And you also want to break Terry Funk's retirement record. So.
Nobody will ever get close to that. But guys, I want to thank you for the invite. Congratulations to the Shining Wizards, the greatest podcast of all time. And I got to go. I got to be up in 6 hours. Wife just got home. So we got very little family time lately. You know, I don't do the politic thing, but she works for the Board of Elections. So
crazy,
it's a
time.
Nightmare. Yes, yeah. It's a nightmare. And I basically, you know, she, for the primary in June, she worked 42 days straight, about 13 hours a day. So,
wow.
You know, it's rough times here, but again, I want to thank you guys for the invite. I love you guys, and thank you very much. And here's to 500 more, you guys.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. We love
Thanks,
you,
Louie. You're the best.
Brother. Best of luck love with everything.
Thank you, guys. Take care of yourselves, man. Love you all.
Love you.
Take care, Louie.
Wow.
That was Low Life Louie. He's a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
Mike's going to go back to Jerry and Mike, and he's going to go, hey, guys, whatever we're doing is fine, because those guys over there, they're fucking out of control. I don't know how they made it 500 episodes.
Wow.
I feel like Mike joined us on like the episode where it was going to be Bedlam from the start. So like, because this is like a celebration for us. Normally we're together, but
right?
We're not. So it's a little out of control. Even though together it'd probably be worse because we'd be doing shots. We'd be doing everything. Like we'd be going nuts in studio. And having you on the phone would probably be a lot easier. And Jay George as well. But we couldn't thank you guys enough. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just saying it's awesome. Yeah.
I appreciate you guys, you know, extending the invite and love the show. And you guys obviously sent me the merch and I love wearing it. I go ahead and post it on Twitter as soon as it gets out of the washing machine. But, you know, it's a true testament in all seriousness of how dedicated you guys are to putting on a hell of a show. And 500 is nothing to scoff at. And for a lot of us who have never even come close to that milestone yet, it definitely gives us something to aspire to be. So guys, thank you so much for always supporting us. You guys do an awesome job, and thank you guys.
Mike, thank you. Thanks, we don't take compliments well, so.
I'm very awkward.
That's why we're not making any eye contact, and we're not looking at you. It's very uncomfortable for us.
I'll tell you this much, though. Anytime you guys want to have a little six-man action, you know, we'd be up for it.
I ain't fucking waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to fucking talk to Mikey Whipwreck. Are you kidding me?
I'm still awake at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll do it.
I'm sure Mikey's bright and chipper at that point. That's probably the Mikey. Nah, you know what? We want to get angry, Mikey.
You're never going to get nice and chipper from Mikey. This doesn't exist.
But you can get Jerry Lynn, and that's what makes the show so great. It's one of my favorites. I listen to it on the way to work, and you guys, that's what makes the dynamic so great. And then you're right there in the middle to mediate everything.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's
funny. Funny enough. And this is a true story. The other day, I was at Carl's Jr. getting some quesadilla poppers.
Motherfucker.
Get the hook.
And for the man.
Oh, I love it.
I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I was going to say, I was listening to the show, and the lady in the drive-thru was like, what show is that? That sounds like a fun show.
Okay.
Just fun. Anecdote.
I was waiting for a terrible dad joke.
No. What dad joke? I'm not a dad. I'm gonna have a wife with this Jezebel living in my house. I'm gonna have a kid with her? Absolutely not.
Hell no.
Forget about it.
Just a figure of speech, J. Jordan,
yeah,
right?
Man, it's not happening, man. This because she can't even cook. We're the only house on our block where we have to pray after we eat.
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said on this show.
Kevin's stealing that for his opener.
I'll be opening live comedy this Friday night at the OSPAC, Oscar Schneider Performing Arts Center.
Are you really?
Yeah, of course.
Have you been doing a lot of that?
No, and during the pandemic, no, comedy's dead.
I know it's an interesting thing. Yeah, there's a lot anyway. Avenues to explore. Listen, I'm starting to get big on this new app. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called TikTok. It's super cool. They're just like any other company. They steal a lot of your information for what? I don't know. Do I care? Not really. Should I? Maybe. But I'm starting to blow up on it, guys. And I think the thing is, Kevin, you got to just find different.
The mute button for him.
All right, Jay George, we got to let you go. Teddy Long is calling in.
That's a good get for the five-year anniversary.
Call me, player.
It's a six-man match.
Oh wait, he's pulling it up. He's pulling it up.
Is he really calling in?
No, I don't. I don't know who did that. By the way,
Matt's giving me the finger. I think maybe Teddy Long is calling in.
He's pulling.
Someone on our Twitter reached out to Teddy Long or something.
No, he's not calling in. That waved me off. What are we
doing?
Favorite
Teddy Long, and just wanted to send a good shout out to my man, the Shining Wizards. That's right, the Shining Wizards podcast. They're celebrating their 500th anniversary. Good luck with everything, guys, and keep on doing what you're doing. Holla.
Wow. Whoa. What?
We just got a cameo from Teddy Long on the show.
I forgot about that.
That is amazing.
That's pretty badass.
Yo, Mike, J. George, I did not know that was a thing. It was just a thing that we had in a private conversation about Teddy Long wanting to maybe call in or something like that. Yeah. And I had no idea that he dropped a voicemail.
Wow. Yeah. I had no idea either. That was awesome.
Yeah, he made a video and he tried to send it, I guess, this afternoon, and then he sent it right before the show started.
And that what? was on his own volition?
That is
nice. Very nice.
One-on-one with the Undertaker, player. That's my J. George. Oh, wait, was it like this? I thought it was more like this.
I love
it. Yeah, it's like this.
Teddy Long was like the opposite of raising the roof. He's like solidify the basement.
Yeah, no, he had to hold it. He was holding it down.
Yeah, reinforce the foundation, Teddy Long.
Because he knew when he made that match, a tag team match, people were going to lose their shit. He's like, no, Hank, chill out.
Oh, my God. Dude.
I forgot. I forgot about that.
No. I'm glad that I randomly completely brought that up. I'm floored. That's a certified Hall of Famer right there.
That's pretty cool. Hey, J. George, your wife has been floored a few times, right?
Come on. Cheap shot.
No, I thought maybe you had like something to add to that.
I was going to ask if you guys had been watching any of Teddy's work on Velocity. They just put up a couple episodes of Velocity.
Yo,
big Velocity fan.
Bullshit. I hate the episodes they put up on Velocity are like, they're just like, oh, it's Dan O'Brien before it was. I want real Velocity. I want like timeline Velocity.
Oh, you don't want like,
they don't get
that is how they did put up like the first couple episodes from 2002 as well.
I'm telling you right now, J. George, it's like episodes that are spread out over like 2 years for.
No, you're right. It's all.
It's all like the guys that were there. It was like a Trish Stratus appearance. It was like a John Cena versus Daniel Bryan appearance. I thought I was going to get like a WCW Saturday Night, a full like 6 months worth of Velocity.
I think they'll have all of them up soon enough. You know what?
I don't think they will, man.
Really?
If their plan was this and they just put out like matches with guys that are big time now or like Trish, I feel like that's the way they're going to go for it.
Because there's a couple.
There's
a couple from 2002 where it's like within a couple weeks of each other. So I think they're slowly rolling them out.
Go back and check and see who's on those shows.
It's like Godfather's like last match. He was doing like a weird heel run in 2002 that no one knew about against like Bill DeMott. He was still Bill DeMott. Oh, no. He was Hugh Morris before he became Bill DeMott.
Really?
Yeah. There's some stuff there, I guess. Oh, Tajiri versus Billy Kidman in a really good match.
All right, that's fine because Kidman, I guess, still works there. Unless he was still.
Yeah, but it's not like, hey, check this out, Billy Kidman before he was a, you know what I mean?
But when I saw that first rollout, I was wondering, are they really gonna put like Mark Jindrak and Luther Reigns versus, you know, insert name here.
I have no doubt it'll all be up there.
I trust you, man. I trust you.
That one of my favorite things whenever WWE would start up like their C show, like the third, you know, pre-tape show that they do, they would always try to load it that first week. Like, do you remember when they brought back superstars? The main event was like, I think it was like Undertaker versus Matt Hardy, maybe, or like Chris Jericho defending the world title against Goldust.
Same thing happened with like Shock on Saturday Night. Like same thing happened with the main event at first. Like in their intro, they still have like Roman Reigns doing like the punch.
Night started out as an awesome concept, and then it went to shit after about a month. They decided, eh, let's just put it in house.
And it was just a dark match. Well, pretty much.
Yeah. And look at Sunday Night Heat. Sunday Night Heat too started off incredible.
So that was like the number two, like for a year at least, right? Would you say that was like the number two show?
Oh my God, I'm gonna be totally ignorant here. Was Sunday Night Heat before SmackDown?
Yeah. It had at least a year before SmackDown.
All right. Then SmackDown came in, then maybe that's why.
Sunday Night Heat. when right, Sunday Night Heat starts like becoming, you know, a little, because they would have like Triple H and Big Show on Sunday Night Heat and stuff, you know.
Well, they had Big Show on last night, so
that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah, he's playing poker tonight on Raw.
Poker? I don't even know her.
Hey, Kevin, on a related note, what is behind you? I'm looking at your stuff back here.
Trash.
I am in my. All right, so there's a whole like stigma against wrestling fans that live with their parents in their basement. I am literally in my father's basement doing a podcast in front of a tool shed.
I think he's talking about all figures. Your figures, Kevin.
He's in his roommate's loft.
I was getting there. We have Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins figure, Captain Lou Albano. We have my nameplate. We have Hasbro's. Ted DiBiase, Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hart, Repo Man. We got a big Sting figure. We got Doom. We got the Road Warriors, Tugboat, Zack Ryder, Ric Flair. Very sought after Ric Flair retro, still on card.
Is that a Care Bear over there in the far left corner?
Care Bear. No, it's Abyss.
Over your other shoulder, right there. It looks like a, what is that right there?
It's Tugboat. Uncle Fred.
That's Tugboat. Nice.
Do you have all three versions of them?
I do not.
Dude, you guys should try to get him on the show. Like, I don't know if you follow his Instagram. He's a huge action figure.
We've had him on the show.
When was that?
6 years ago.
Yes. Okay. Been a while.
No, so I can look, because the beauty of it is you guys have all this stuff on the archives. Literally, when you have 500 episodes, there's just hours and hours of stuff you can go back and listen to. If there's inside jokes you guys might have missed, you guys could just go back and check it out. That's the beauty of it.
Too many hours. Oof. Lots of hours. Lots.
If I tell you what, I'm gonna pull the Jerry Lynn. The wife's giving me the go home sign here.
Oh, she giving you the stink eye?
Is she? Hey, yeah.
Jay George, is your wife giving you the stink eye?
Someone is.
but once again, guys, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. I rep out the shirt all the time. I love what you guys are doing. Please,
how come you're not wearing it,
up
right now? I'm wearing mine.
It's in the wash.
It's in the wash right now. I wore it yesterday.
Prove it. Go to
you
wash.
Want me to take my shirt off right now and go over and put
no,
it on?
No. Do not have to switch shirts.
I took my shirt off last week.
You said
week.
It's in the wash.
Yes.
I want to see it in the wash.
Don't,
all right, hold on. Let me go.
No,
let
don't.
Take us to your laundry room.
All right, hold on a second. Just hold on. Let me.
Oh, my God. Jay George, really, you're too Jay much. George? This poor guy has got to get up out of his chair.
No, because you guys give out these shirts, and it's very nice of you, and I just want to make sure he didn't, like, give it a goodwill.
Get my big fat ass up here. Hold on a second. Can't even move. Hold
this
on.
This poor guy. He just was. Jesus, the wife Jesus. Is giving Come him a hard on. Time. Right. Oh, my God, Jay George. What the fuck?
He's
going
to get up.
Well, that's Mike Freeland at Mike Freeland. He hosts the Front Row Material podcast at FRN Podcast with Mikey Whipwreck and Jerry Lynn. And Jay George,
hey.
Thunderheart himself, has just made Mike get out of his chair. And he has now left us to go to the washing machine to pull out a very soaking wet or very dry Shining Wizards t-shirt.
You know what would be really funny? If Jay George left the call right now and then he comes back with the shirt and Jay George isn't even here.
And none of us act impressed at all that he did it.
Hey, what are you? I'm doing a podcast right now. What?
No! That's a gimmick. You know what? We got this brand new microphone for me, and then I see him treating his microphone like trash.
Yeah, like, no, he's got a good mic too. He's got a Yeti.
It makes me like, oh, look, like, bab.
Well, it's all alone now. All three of us.
It's back.
We're
to
back.
Us.
Oh,
there we go. Poor Mike.
Mike, you didn't have to do this. You know, he can't hear me.
He can't hear
you. You didn't have to do this, brother. Seriously.
No, I'm good. Hey, I'm good. Let me just. Okay, here we go.
Jay George just fell and hurt himself too.
Oh my God.
And he's not even wearing pants.
Is he posting? What does that note say? Send help.
God damn it. All right, so we're getting a tour of the Freeland house.
Now.
Look at this. 10-10, 220 in the dryer.
Look at that. There it is. It looks like it. It's black.
That's it.
There it is. Oh, that hot pink.
What is Thunderheart doing? What is this?
I don't know what Thunderheart's doing. Poor Mike got up and he's gonna put the shirt on.
You don't have to put it on, please. Seriously.
Oh my god.
No, come on, dude. And he left.
This is the greatest show we've ever done.
Oh, wait, Mike is dancing. He doesn't have his headphones in right now.
Seriously, he left.
Was that the Blue Meanie dance?
Yes, it was. Of course, it was. Mind of Meanie, another great show, by the way.
Does he bail on hotel rooms too?
Oh, he's ready.
He's gone, Mike. He left. He fucking made you get up, and now he's gone.
Ah. I love it.
All right, guys. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on.
Mike, thank you. We promoted you while you were getting your stuff out of the dryer. But again, at Mike Freeland on Twitter, at FR.
RN Pod.
Yep.
With that. There it is. Jerry Lynn and Mikey Whipwreck. It is one of the best podcasts you'll ever listen to. It's not entirely wrestling related. If you didn't pick up the gist, don't cut your fucking hamburgers in half and use your tiny hands to eat it like a man. Who does that?
Mikey and Jerry do it.
Because they got dainty little crippled fingers from fucking
wrestling.
Well,
they're also senior citizens, so.
That's true.
Yeah, they both pick have it up. Card. It's a hamburger. It's not. You want a tiny.
Well, they also don't have their all original teeth either, so you got to keep that in mind as well.
Get a slider, then, if you can't pick things up. Fucking cat with your dainty hands.
Did you ever try to laugh and then a burp just totally interrupted it?
Ooh.
I'll see you guys.
Mike, Later, thank you so much.
Thanks again, brother. Take care. Oh, man, he couldn't wait to get the fuck out of this.
No, probably his fucking wife's fucking ready to murder him, probably.
Well, dude, he stayed on.
Every 5 minutes.
Yeah, he stayed on for like a half hour. Did he realize that he could have hung up anytime?
He was having fun, bro. Everybody was having fun.
No, of course. It's a great podcast. Why wouldn't you have fun? 500 episodes.
Goddamn, J. George, really?
And J. George did. It really looked like he was about to play the piano. Like when he said that, I was like, wait, is he like going to sing a song? Because I know he does that kind of stuff. So, very entertaining guy, J. George. Very entertaining podcast host. And Mike Freeland, 500 episodes of The Shining Wizards. And there's no slowing down for us. Follow us at Wizards Podcast on Instagram, on Twitter, The Shining Wizards on Facebook. T-Donk has an Instagram called T-Donk Exploratories. It's him going on adventures like Uncle Traveling Matt in Fraggle Rock. So follow that. T-Donk. No selling. Complete no selling.
I'm just trying to say my thank yous and good nights to our guests, showing them some love.
Okay.
All right. We are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. It's been 500 episodes. It's been a crazy ride. We'll be back next week with 501. Kevin, it looks like you have to wait till next week to play your game against Kate, because this is very long show. And we got you got your top 10 list for next week, or another top 5 list. But we're going to get out of here and wrap this bad boy up, because we are fast approaching the 3-hour mark.
Ooh.
But it has been such a great time.
Yeah, one by fast.
Real quick, thank you to all of our members of the Shining. I didn't mean to cut you off on that. I didn't realize you were going to be playing that.
It's good. You're good.
Thanks to everybody that's part of the show on the Discord, everybody that's been supporting us, the Patreons. Did we do Patreons today?
We didn't.
Ooh. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, Patreons. Kathy Hummer, Manny Crazzo, Danny and Anthony Rusinello, Ryan Arthur, Sean Toe, Sean Calejo, Brett Simonello, Kate Hensler, Matt Garifo, Matt Mellinger, Christine Friesendorf, Mark Paroloni, happy birthday, Kenny Hossie, Jay Kopp, the Big Kopp of Pump, from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock, Michael Hammond, David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hauserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com, Matthew Birch, TJ Vegas, Richard Bordeaux from ProWrestlingSlam.net, follow them at PW_Slam on Twitter, and William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. Y'all know what I mean.
Thanks to the guys from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thanks to everybody from Inconclusive Breakdown, Radioactive Metal, Wrestling Night in Canada, High Spot Podcast, and, of course, the Midnight Jury. think that covers everybody from the Shining Wizards Network. Matt, what else we got? Are we getting out of here?
Just as Kevin said before, follow us on all social media platforms at Wizards Podcast. Thank you to everybody that has supported the show over 500 episodes. If you've been with us from day one, if you've been with us since last week, we appreciate your support. The retweets to every wrestler that I reached out to today that was kind enough to share this episode. To Ace Austin, who was a guest tonight. To Chris Gethard. To Jay George. To Mike. To Low Life Louis Ramos. We thank all of you. It's been such a crazy ride. It's so much fun. I say it time and time again. The podcast is a lot of fun. I get to see my friends. Usually we get to hang out once a week, but I don't know a lot of guys pushing 40 years old who actively get to see their friends once a week. It's really, as you get older, it gets harder. So that's what she said. Manscaped.com. But yeah, it's awesome. Tony's, 500 episodes.
Tony's pushing it twice.
Yeah, I'm really fucking old, dude.
We'll be back with 501 next week. We got a lot planned for going forward. We got our 9-year anniversary coming up in November, so stay along for the ride. There's so much more ahead. I got nothing else. I'm done. I'm tapped out. I have no energy. I have to go make HelloFresh.
Oh, man.
I'm out.
All right.
Good night, Gracie.
You son of a bitch, motherfucker. I can't believe I almost forgot that Teddy Long thing.
Leia. Oh. All right, we're out on Hot Mic. Are we clear? Please?